Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, December 21st, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. And if you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can call in our number at 605-562-3140, participant code 385-698. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our site, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, now let's take a look into God's Word before we get started. Tonight's message is going to be a Christmas message. It might be a little lengthier than usual. We'll look at Isaiah chapter 9. We'll read a few verses from there, some verses from Matthew chapter 1, and then Luke chapter 2, and finalize with John chapter 1. Isaiah 9. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Jehovah by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the messenger of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Luke 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and to the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, to see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Last, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as would receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, so that brings us to the end. I know it was a little long, but it is Christmas, and so a few days, and today's the 21st, so four more days. Okay, I guess tonight we're going to look a little bit in talking a little bit about the mortgage problems that's been going on and how it is that they've been getting away with what they're doing and the crimes that they have committed. Well, we're going to be doing something a little different with those people who have mortgage filed papers for habeas corpuses. And we're not going to be doing a habeas corpus for those people because most of those people have not been put into a courtroom. These are all non-judicial foreclosures. And we've been looking into it for the past week. And there's about, I would guess, maybe half the states are non-judicial foreclosure states, which is really very strange. And the other half apparently is supposed to not be. They don't have the laws. In other words, they have some certain laws on the books within the states. But nevertheless, every state is acting as a non-judicial foreclosure. Matter of fact, New York, which is one of our first cases we're handling on the mortgage problems, was right here in New York. And New York is not on that list. So we are not. New York is not. And New Jersey is not either. But in any event, we are not non-judicial foreclosure states. So they're doing it in every state. They've gotten that bold. They don't even need the law because they are the law. They're a law unto themselves. They do whatever they want. But the day is coming when justice is going to come upon them, and the people will have their way. Okay, so the plan for these things really is if it doesn't go before a judge, and in most cases it won't, unless the person whose mortgage is being foreclosed takes it into the court themselves. And then that judge will do a summary judgment for the mortgage company, and they're going to lose anyway. But they will hold it off a little longer, and buy a little more time by doing that. But generally speaking, they don't even go to a judge. They don't go to a court. They just file the papers in the court. Judge didn't even put a signature on it. It's just an automatic push through, and then they file the papers. And we're going to kind of reveal the process by which they do it. So if it doesn't go before a judge, like I said, most cases won't at all, then we'll have to bring it into the courts before we bring it, come after them for as a crime, really. So what we would do is really do on behalf of the individual, show cause by what authority they're doing whatever it is that they're doing. And again, we're going to try to lay that out. So just show cause. We've already written a paper on that. It's only a one-pager. And then the second part of the process, should they not back off, because they will default on that, or they may try to get a judge to have it thrown out, to make a motion to dismiss or whatever, and they'll get that done and move on. And then we'll just add the judge to the conspiracy then from the state. But at least we'll have the point in the state court, and then we can move it up into the federal court. And the paper that we would file in the federal court, we've been working on, and it's really more an information, and it's addressed to the sheriff of the county where the crime has taken place, a special agent in charge of the FBI in the federal district where it's taken place, and to the U.S. Marshal in the federal district where the crime has taken place. So we put those three people into an information and bring them in under mandamus to prepare them for dealing with a crime and understanding that crime. So I'm going to read this paper. I may not read all of it because we get into statutory stuff, but I might read through the statutory stuff. It is kind of interesting seeing how they've really broke the law, not only on the constitutional side, but they also went against their own statutes. They just don't care because, after all, you know, they're above the law. Okay, so this is an information coming in from the grand jury. This information is to inform, and again, it's directed to the sheriff, the FBI, and the marshal. This information is to inform and educate the respondents about crimes committed in the above said federal district and to prepare the said respondents, again, that's the sheriff, marshal, and FBI, to prepare the respondents for execution of indictments which are to follow by way of this formal notifications of crimes. We are directing the county sheriff and the FBI special agent in charge to do their constitutional duty to protect the victims, arrest the perpetrators, and deliver the perpetrator to the U.S. Marshal for arraignment at the above said federal district court. This extraordinary information slash action is necessary in order to prepare the above said law enforcement officers and agents of their constitutional duty to enforce the law and to secure the peace. Judges and prosecutors do not have the authority of indictment, only the people do. And any move by judges and prosecutors to dismiss a reported crime is nothing less than felony rescue. We, the people, find it apparent, you should find it apparent as well, that our constitutional officers are ignorant as to the law of the land as defined in the Constitution for the United States of America, Article 6. Therefore, you and they are unable to determine constitutional violations, which puts you and them in jeopardy of violating your oath and puts we, the people, in jeopardy of losing our liberty to tyrants. And then we inserted the Article 6, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made pursuant thereof, and all the treaties made of which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges at every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the constitutional laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. Article 6. Because of the purging of civics and constitutional studies from our schools and the erasing of prerequisite requirements of knowledge of the same before taking your oaths of office, we the people have prepared two free courses for you and your deputies to take. To take the free constitutional and civics course, go to powerofthecountysheriff.com. The following crime is plaguing our nation every day across America while courts and prosecutors do nothing, as mortgage holding companies execute non-judicial foreclosures, which means taking of property without due process, by performing the following unconstitutional common practices. Number one, give notice of default without judicial process. Now, we've been looking and reading, and it's pretty much after your third month of missing a payment, according to them, then they go into the notice of default. So, number one, notice of default. Number two, notice of substitution of trustees without judicial process. Number three, they give notice of sale without judicial process. Number four, they commence a public auction without a judicial process. Number five, they use the aforesaid documents to transfer title without judicial process. Number five, they file a fraudulent eviction action as landlord without a judicial process. The foregoing practices moves the presumption of law from innocence until proven guilty to guilty with no opportunity to defend, thereby turning American jurisprudence on its head. This removes the opportunity to be heard and provides absolute control to defraud without consequence by nefarious mortgage holders, of which there seems to be no shortage, as well as by RICO-governed de facto courts. Furthermore, Congress cannot make laws that would provide for a statutory construction which would forbid the exercising of an unalienable right, which would be required in order to make a state a non-judicial foreclosure state. And therefore, no state can establish non-judicial foreclosure laws which negate the following, which would negate the following. Number one, unalienable right to be secured from property seizures, protected by the Fourth Amendment. Number two, the unalienable right of due process, protected by the Fifth Amendment. Number three, the unalienable right of a trial by jury protected by the Seventh Amendment. And number four, the unalienable right of common law courts protected by the Seventh Amendment. Rights are unalienable, cannot be transferred. And any contract that would pass or hand over an unalienable right is null and void. The burden of proof is on the foreclosing property party to prove their case and to prove their right to sell someone's house without progressing to a final judgment in a court of law. Any court that ignores these facts and or proceeds with summary judgments becomes complicit to the robbery and violates the victim's right under color of law, thereby giving reason to move the case for cause into an Article III federal district court. The ruse, notice of default. Failing to file an affidavit of default proving due process has been adhered to constitutes fraud. Trustee substitutes, this is a federal offense. Assuming fiduciary authority without filing Federal Form 56, which is the proof of fiduciary authority under oath within the federal district, and that constitutes fraud. And by the way, no, I've never seen anyone file a Form 56, because in order to file a Form 56, they have to commit a crime because they don't have the fiduciary authority. That Form 56 says under oath. It is an affidavit form under oath saying they have fiduciary authority, and they can't possibly have it. By substituting the trustee, okay, they now are claiming to take over fiduciary authority. That is a crime, federal offense, by the way. Notice of sale, again, another federal offense. This notice of sale, they act on a claim without filing Federal Form 4490, which is proof of claim under oath. Again, same thing. I've never seen anyone file a 4490. For the government or anybody or any corporation to come out after you claiming without going through judicial process especially, they have to file a proof of claim before they could do anything, and they have to do this under oath. So again, this brings them within the federal district that constitutes a fraud. Title transfer, this again is another federal offense. Transferring title without due process constitutes fraud. Any court that provides a summary judgment enters into a conspiracy under the color of law and escalates the crime to RICO. Eviction, again, another federal offense. They had no right to do so. Any court granting an eviction after being fully informed of the conspiracy to defraud enters into that conspiracy. And then the final dispossession, again, another federal offense. Any sheriff executing a court order to evict after being fully informed of the conspiracy enters into that conspiracy. Statutory crimes under U.S. laws, they securitize the mortgages, and that is illegal. Primarily because they are fraudulent and constitute specific violations, namely RICO, usury, fraud, conspiracy, forgery, robo-signing, and it violates numerous antitrust law violations. In order to go forward with this, it's all about money, using the law to defraud through the law and the people. That brings them to RICO, it's organized crime. Usury is because they hit people up with a very large interest rate, which is usury. And all of these things are done with robo-signing and forging. They forge the name of the individual who originally owned it onto the papers. And they do this, I believe, with robo-signing the final signature on the paper, taking control. And these things are being sent out in hundreds and thousands at a time. There's no accountability here. There's no affidavits, nothing. The foreclosure crisis is a complex, interconnected series of state-sponsored crime involving the following steps. Number one, the mortgage is created. That in itself and the way they do it is a crime. Number two, the mortgage is sold to an investor. Again, they securitize this. Number three, the mortgage payments are loaded onto an international Ponzi scheme, also known as the mortgage securitization. Number four, compliant judges in state and federal courts look the other way or provide summary judgments while A, mortgage companies concealed the fact that the notes and the assignments were never delivered to the MBS, which is a mortgage-backed security trust, MBS trusts. And the mortgage companies dismantled false and misleading statements to the investor and to the United States government by filing it in these groups of papers under securities. Now, B, mortgage companies pursue foreclosure actions using false and fabricated documents, particularly mortgage assignments. The mortgage companies use robo-signing on thousands of documents each week and no review or knowledge of the contents of the document, thus creating forged mortgage assignments with fraudulent titles in order to proceed with foreclosures. C, mortgage companies have used these fraudulent mortgage assignments to conceal over 1,400 MBS trusts, each with mortgage values valued over $1 billion. So that's $1,400 billion, which are missing critical documents, namely mortgage assignments, which are required to have been delivered to the trust at the inception of the trust. D, without lawfully executed mortgage assignments, the value of the mortgage and notes held by the trust is impaired. Effective assignments are necessary for the trust to foreclose on its assets in the event that mortgage defaults and the trust do not hold good title to the loans and the mortgages that investors have been told are secured notes. They can't find any of the original paperwork. They can't find any of the original signatures. For if they did, they'd start proving the fraud against themselves, and that's one of the reasons why it all goes away. They don't want anything that looks original. And that works for us because in a court of law, if they don't have the original document, they have nothing. They don't even have a mortgage at all. And that's another story. But anyway, let's see. Where was that? E, mortgage assignments are prepared with forged signatures of individuals signing as guarantors and forged signatures of individuals signing as witnesses and notaries. F, mortgage assignments are prepared with forged signatures of individuals signing as corporate officers for banks and mortgage companies which have never employed said individuals and corporate officers. It's nothing but fraud. RICO on steroids is what it is. G, mortgage assignments are prepared and signed by individuals as corporate officers of mortgage companies that have been dissolved by bankruptcy years prior to the assignment. H, mortgage assignments are prepared with purported effective dates unrelated to the dates of any actual or attempted transfer, and in the case of trust, with purported effective dates years after the closing date of the trust. I, mortgage assignments are prepared on behalf of the grantor who had never themselves acquired ownership of the mortgage and notes by a valid transfer, and such mortgage assignments include numerous ones with the where the grantor was identified as bogus assignee for intervening assignments. J, mortgage assignments are notarized by notaries who never witnessed the signature. That's they notarize. K, the MBS trust and their trustees, depositors, and servicing companies further misrepresent to the public the assets of the trust and issue false statements in their pretentious and certifications of compliance. L, securitization violates usury laws in that resulting effective interest rates typically exceeds legally allowed rates set up by state usury laws. M, all true sales, disguised loans, and assignments, securitizations, are essentially tax evasion schemes. In the United States, the applicable tax evasion statute in the United States Internal Revenue Code Section 7201, which reads as follows. Any person, corporation who willfully attempts in any manner to evade or defeat any tax imposed by this title or the payment thereof shall, in addition to other penalties provided by law, be guilty of a felony, and upon conviction thereof shall be fined not more than $500,000 or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both, together with the cost of the prosecution. N, securitization undermines the United States federal bankruptcy policy because it uses in lieu of secured financing as a means of avoiding certain bankruptcy law restrictions. The origins of securitization in the United States can be traced directly to the efforts by the banks and financial institution to avoid bankruptcy law restrictions. And finally, O, securitization constitutes a violation of federal RICO Section 1341, mail fraud, Section 1343, wire fraud, Section 1344, financial institution fraud, Section 1957, engaging in monetary transaction and property derived from specified unlawful activity, and Section 1952, racketeering. Okay, so this paper here, again, is kind of still in the workings, and when we do get it cleaned up and we start using it, which will be in January, because we're not going to be doing any more papers until January, we're not doing anything this week and next week, we are working on the constitutional course, which we will endeavor to have completed before January 1st, and up and going, where people can actually start signing up and taking the course. At that time, we'll start picking up on the on dealing with the mortgages problem, and we will post this information so people can become educated in this. The key point to this whole thing, what we really need the sheriffs to understand and see, and also the marshals and the FBI, particularly, is the constitutional violations. Those are pretty easy to see. And if they take our constitutional courses, they'll start to see the jurisdiction problems too. But also, we did list, of course, all the statutory violations that they did with all of the different violations and frauds that they've committed. This is just an unbelievable thing that these people are that bold. They're actually just coming out and robbing people, and sheriffs are sitting there, marshals are sitting there seeing this happen, judges are allowing it to happen. It's fraud from point A to point Z, and also it violates, as we saw, four points of the Constitution. It cannot stand. Okay, let me lay that aside here and see what else we have.
John, I just want to say something. I want to make a comment on what you just said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything you read up until the robo-signing is the exact same violation of due process that they use when they foreclose for land tax. They do all that transferring of the deed and non-judicial and violating your rights. Everything up to the robo-signing is the same tactics they use. They even use an eviction process, John, before they sell the place, just like they're doing to the people with the banks. So this paper will be valuable and probably in more than one aspect, when even for that, those type of things that they're doing, because they take control of the deed, they take control of the property. You know, we had that one lady we were trying to defend, and they said, don't you dare take anything out of the house, because she had a resort. They thought she was going to start selling off the stoves and the furniture out of the place, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Because they consider it their place. After 3 months, they take that deed and they put it in their name. It becomes their property, and then they do that. Then they do that sale, that so-called sale, you know, and the transfer of the property with no due process, never, no notice, no anything. So that's something to think about, because it's the same constitutional violations. And then they write articles in the paper and they say, oh, We took $500,000 worth of property away from people and sold it and made $1 million. We doubled our money, and we're going to give the kids money for school or some baloney so that everybody feels better about it. So they take $500,000 in property, and then they sell it at tax sale. And the traditional thing was, if they took your property and they sold it at auction, and if they made more money than what the tax due, they're supposed to give that to the landowner. Instead, they stick it in their coffers now. They've gotten to the point that they, you know, and they used to have to send a letter to the homeowner to let them know that was an overpayment. And what they used to do is they used to send it to the property that they just chased them out of, hoping that they wouldn't get it. Because if you don't respond within 30 days, they used to be able to take it. They don't even do that anymore. They put in this business of transferring the deed before it ever gets sold, so it becomes like their property, and so that you don't get any money back or anything on it. So it's really the same fraud when it comes to land tax. So that's something else to think about. Thank you.
Very good. I appreciate that and agree 100%. And, you know, look at This is the way they set this whole system up, and they do it so boldly because they think they're untouchable. They think that no one's seeing this. First of all, nobody can get a lawyer that will represent them against these criminals. They're not taught to, well, first of all, they're taught to stay away from this, okay? And by the way, the people who own most of these securities and, you know, these mortgage houses and they buy in into percentage ultimately are all judges and lawyers. They're the ones that own this whole thing. This is their, you know, I guess, retirement or
yeah, imagine that.
Investment.
No conflict of interest there, right?
Of course not. No. These are kind of nice guys, you know. But anyway, this is a major, major problem. But look, they figure they don't let you represent yourself in court. You try to go in here, they knock you down. They may try to get you for practicing law without a license and all that other stuff. And so they control the whole process, so they're untouchable. And the sheriff has no idea what's going on. The marshal has no idea what's going on. The FBI has no idea what's going on. And if anybody tries to go after anybody, then, you know, what happens? The prosecutor refuses to prosecute. So we have to train and teach these sheriffs and marshals that they can go beyond the prosecutor. They don't need the prosecutor. They can call the grand jury themselves. Or the grand jury can call themselves. After all, the very first grand jury, was called by the people themselves. They brought it up. And it has been used from time to time, and we're doing that right now. We, the people, are stepping up. We need to train the sheriffs to know what we're doing and that they have the power and the authority to call for the grand jury, too. Okay, a couple of questions I saw in. Some people wanted to know about some more advanced Bible studies. We do a Bible study on Sundays. Right now we're doing all four Gospels, the harmony of the four Gospels, so we can get to know the King of the Court. But for more advanced studies, if you want, you can go to thebibleonly.net and just click on the Bible studies on the left side, and you get a list of all kinds of topical studies and different studies that this one individual was looking for. Another question came up, are there punitive damages in common law? Can you talk a little bit on how to calculate and how it's considered and so on? There are a lot of biblical principles. We could use some of the principles that have been set forth by the courts themselves. I think they're reasonable. I forget the numbers, but I think it's 9.5 times is the maximum amount that you can go after punitive damages for. The Bible talks about different things. You know, if you steal an ox, you got to replace it with two oxes or four oxes or something like that. So it's 2 to 4 times the amount of biblical principles. And I'm sure if we go through the gospel, you know, through the Bible, and as a matter of fact, I will eventually do that. I started to do that. I don't recall some of the things I found, but, we'll get some principles that we can lay up for people to work off of. But absolutely, punitive damages are part of the process of common law. The key thing is the restitution and to return the individual back to the original state prior to the violation. It's not so much as putting people in jail. Any violent crime, of course, we probably wanted to deal with jail, but basically, you know, it's all about restoring the individual they injured. It's called restitution. All right, I think that's about it, so I'll pass things over now to Gerard. I don't know if Jan, do we have any speakers, Gerard?
Wait. Yeah, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had
we don't want to wait.
Yeah. I had a thread conversation going on about our habeas corpuses where we are doing the habeas corpus to be taken out of their jurisdiction. I have been asked by a number of people in a number of different ways, why are we not filing a case in federal court, filing a common law claim as plaintiffs and countersuing and pressing charges for the violations that in fact, when I was listening to the egregious actions that take place in a foreclosure, it seems to be that would be a great place to go next, because we're sitting here waiting for something to happen with the habeas corpus, and they're acting with impunity, or some are acting with impunity around the habeas corpus. is, might it be because we haven't taken the next step and filed a common law claim?
Well, no, we don't file a common law claim per se. Look at the tribunal spoke, that's the grand jury, when they went forward with the habeas corpus. They defaulted. We then had an affidavit of default done, and then a memorandum of the decision was then made. So everybody mute their mic. Gary, Gerard, your mics, mute your mics. So anyway, then that memorandum of decision, and that commands them to abate. The next step, of course, is a contempt with opportunity to amend. Now, we haven't pressed it past the contempt with opportunity to amend for a couple of reasons. We're a little too premature before we start putting that pressure on them, because we want to make sure once we start putting the pressure that they start to feel it. I do know they're feeling it. There's just so many things going on, and we hear about, we know that they know. And they are fearing this. We're not here to try to win any kind of restitution at this point in time for anyone. We're here to try to prevent people from going to prison, get people out of prison, prevent people from losing their homes, prevent people from losing their children. These are the things we're working on to do. This is helpful to people that come to us for help on the one hand. It also assists us in getting us into the courts, getting our foot in the courts. Now, we started to do the habeas corpus with the mortgages, and I saw, particularly with the first case we used, that there was a summary judgment, and that's where we pursued the courts. But I found out that very few cases have the summary judgment part. They never went into the court. And so I thought about this on how we're going to pursue this, and because we're going to have to pursue this in a different way than a habeas corpus, maybe. And it turns out that we will. We'll open up a court of record for a show cause, okay, on behalf of the victims or victims. And when we do that show cause, they will default. One of two things will happen. They will make a motion to dismiss it, to have it thrown out. We'll, of course, put the screws down to them on what the Constitution has to say about all that. And the other thing is they'll try to say maybe that we're not paying the fee, so therefore they can't hear the case, and we're going to put the screws to them on that too. These people, especially on a state level, will go do these things anyway. They'll throw us out of court, and that's fine. Because our goal is to get them into federal court anyway, so that gives us opportunity at that point. That makes it a federal violation from the state, and that brings us right into the federal court district. And therefore, then at that point, we then file the necessary papers concerning the fraud, and then we're going to pursue with this kind of a paper that we just read, we're going to pursue our first papers in the court notification concerning the victims to the sheriffs and to the marshal and to the FBI agent. There's three people, the county, and of course the marshal and the FBI agent within that federal district. We want to educate them. So first paper is sending them a paper, prepare them for the fact of what we're doing and that a crime has taken place, to notify them of a crime. Once they've been duly briefed, now they're stuck with having to do something. In this paper, we make the point that we may not have made it clear enough when I was reading this. I think we can make it clearer. But basically that the prosecutor can't derail this process. Because if he did, he's committing felony rescue. And I think we have to expound a little bit more on that, because that's one of the things they're going to try to do, is get the prosecutor to try to throw the case out and refuse to prosecute. And then, therefore, it's up to the sheriff or the marshal to make an arrest there, because, again, you now have felony rescue. Same thing with the judge. If the judge complies with all this, then felony rescue is for him, too. So this may be a way to really put us into the place where we're going to leverage the sheriff. And we'll spend time with that sheriff. It may take a week, it may take a month, but we'll spend that time. I don't think we'll spend any more than a month with them. But we'll spend that time trying to educate them, to show them the law, to show them that they have a duty, that they took an oath, and they become part. And we're going to let them know, if you don't do your duty, you then become compliant with this. You become part of the crime. You're part of the conspiracy, because now you are committing felony rescue. So we'll eventually get to that point to pressure the sheriff, to pressure the marshal, to pressure the FBI to do the right thing. And it is at that point that we then finally file the indictment upon all parties involved, all lawyers, the mortgage company, the judges, everybody involved. They're all going into this indictment. Then at that point, we've already primed the sheriff and the marshal to do their job. So that's one way to get it done right. Now, pursuing the other stuff we've been pursuing, which is habeas corpuses, okay, we got the paper out that we needed to get out, so we've primed everything up to that point. So I think in January we are now ready to start pursuing indictments, and we'll do them on the most strongest cases in the places where we feel we have friends. We have been getting some papers back from our papers. In other words, they've been stamping the papers filed and sending them back. I've gotten some, and I got to get a hold of down south. I don't know if Tony is down Westchester, Gerard? Or is he up here?
I think he's up here. He said there was no mail the other day when he checked it, and he was going to check on his way back. So
okay.
He hasn't, as of last week, last Friday, he hadn't had anything new.
Right, and anything coming in would be coming in now. So anyway, after the holiday, we'll see what's coming in. And that will tell us who are potentially friendly districts. And if we indict in one district and they try to perform felony rescue to prevent it from going forward, then we can move this into a district that is obeying the law. And so we'll work all that out. So it's a matter of really coming in at the right time, leveraging at the right time, and educating the people prior to doing it, you know. If they really feel that they're protected and, hey, you know, I'm not worried about these guys, you know. If that's their attitude and they feel that way, we're not going to get nowhere with them. But if we keep working on them and we finally wake them up where they finally take a look and then they start to realize, well, maybe we should be worried about this. Yeah, maybe this is a few more people than we thought were involved. You know, it's national. We're in every state. Also, the paperwork that we write is impeccable. It's solid. It's strong. It's foundational. It's understood for anybody who reads it. It's reasonably understood. I know when we got off on the statutes here, you know, it gets a little confusing. But look at when we get into the basic Constitution, it's cut and dry. This is nothing.
Well,
this is not rocket science.
There's another wrinkle here, John, and I don't know if anybody's considered it, is the fact that, you know, we've been pressuring the clerks and to file papers and the judges, and we've been getting some response from that. So the minute we have a default that is put in with a number that a clerk puts in, that's a good enough thing to move on with a tort or anything else. Because once you have a default, even a regular lawyer will go after that.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. If we have an unfriendly court in one district, and next door we have a friendly court, one that is willing to obey the law, we'll move it over next door. We'll do what has to be done. Extraordinary
circumstances. I think we're very, very close to having those defaults filed in certain courts. And once we get that, we can really move. I don't think that they're going to keep us. They're going to push us out forever because they understand. I think some of those clerks have read those papers, and they're not going to take the fall for the judge. So there's a division in their ranks, and they're not going to do it. And once they file those papers, that'll put teeth in, and that'll give us something to move on. You know, as far as the default goes, you'll be able to take that thing and move it on its own merits. You know.
Mm-hmm, so. Absolutely. Hey, one of the first things you want to do is divide and then conquer. That's how you win.
Yeah.
You divide and conquer. And that's exactly what we're doing by writing all these papers and copying all these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Now, there is a paper that we read a couple of weeks ago, and we moved the clerk and judge paper up ahead of it, and it was cheaper to do anyway. It still cost us quite a bit of money. I think it was $600, $800. I don't remember what it was, but we were able to pay for it, and we got it out. Right now, we're kind of behind in bills, but I can see that we're going to be able to probably catch up before the year is out and pretty much pay all our bills up again. But I do not see any extra money to get this next group of papers out, which I had hoped to have gotten out by now. We haven't started to print them or anything yet because we just don't have the money. So please, everybody, anybody that has not been giving $5 a month or more, or at least a one-time gift from time to time or something to help us do what we have to do, please consider doing that now. You know, everything costs money. This project that we want to get out now, and I really hope to have gotten this out before the first of the month, is going to Congress. So we're going to the 430 congressmen and 100 senators, and also the 50 governors. And then, of course, we'll have to file this in all 94 courts. So it's quite a bit of papers, and we need to get this out. It'll be really strategic and helpful, again, to put more pressure. Because once we send these papers out, then we fax a copy to all the other elected officials, including every sheriff, including every marshal, including all the FBI, even the Joint Chief of Staff. I mean, everybody gets it. And all the judges get it. The clerks get it. Everybody. So, again, it's putting their sin everywhere. They can't expunge it. They can't erase it. They can't hide it. They can't run from it. It's in their face. And again, that's just another trumpet as we circle the city and blow the trumpet, you know. And each time we circle and each time we blow, you know, the stress gets greater and greater and greater and greater, and those walls eventually are going to fall. It's just a matter of time. We just have to continue pursuing what we're doing. But again, you know, it's going to cost us anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 to get all of these papers out. You know, there's a lot of cost in mailing. And so please, we really got to get these papers out. And the big project coming up, is going to be in January. We want to get out to all of the sheriffs, at least one paper to the sheriffs, individually named on every paper throughout the nation, concerning some points, and they have to respond to things. And that's 3,130 four counties, so we've got quite a few sheriffs to go out to. And that particular project, goodness, is going to cost us maybe $8,000. We haven't even calculated because we don't know the weight of the paper yet, and how many ounces are going out per envelope. So, but it's going to be costly, and either we get the job done or we're not. I mean, look, at these are the things that have to be done to make it work. And so if we don't get them out, it's going to take longer for us to do what we have to do. The pressure has to be applied and continue to be applied. So please, everybody consider, I believe in the widow's mite. Again, $5-$10 a month from people. Some people can afford more, but whatever it is you can afford a month, you multiply that by numbers and it becomes considerable. And we can do these things, all these things. So please, everybody consider that. All right, passing it back over to you now, Gerard. Anything else with Jen and Gary?
Yeah. There is no special speaker tonight, but I do have an announcement I'd like to make. This was an off year for elections, but in November we did elect 14 new sheriffs in Pennsylvania. So we've redone our sheriff's list, mailing addresses, faxes, and so on, which will be accurate as of the 4th of January. I sent them off to JP, and we made column one, the new sheriffs, in sequence at the top of the table. So if we decide to go back and at least fax these new sheriffs all of the documents that we've sent out so far, we can do it easily without searching through the list. Now, JP came back and asked that all state coordinators take a look at their sheriff's list and make sure that they will be up to date as of the 4th of January, if that's the date the new people take office. And please get to them as soon as possible, because we're still mailing sheriffs. We want to have up-to-date lists. And that's all I had.
All right. Thank you, Jan. Okay. Sure. Off to you, Gerard.
Wait a minute. One more thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been involved in a couple of, things that go on in different states and such. And there's been a couple of our enemies where it seems to be very important for them to put the word out, what they consider the word, that the NLA has been losing membership and where they lost over 1,000 members over one thing or another. When I want to assure everybody that, number one, that is a complete fallacy. Even those that we were expelling from way back in the Colorado thing, those people all actually rejoined, most of them under different names, though phone numbers remain the same. But what I also like to let everybody know is we're now on the upper tick of the 5,000 mark. And for an organization or for an assembly like ours, that's phenomenal. And I just wanted to give everybody like kind of like a little bit of an oomph. When I saw my download today and I saw what our membership was, I just thought, you guys should know. We're doing very well. We are very healthy. And that's going to start going up with some strategic alliances that we've been creating as of late. We have other groups that are wanting to work with us in concert with us, especially those, you know, like-minded organizations out there. So things are going very well for us. We're alive and healthy. And I'll stop there.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Gerard?
Yep. Well, that's it. Same thing. I ditto that. I'm getting a lot of good vibrations from around the country. You know, I think the word is getting out. And, you know, these are the first chinks in the armor here. Excuse me. So with that, I don't have anything else new.
Okay, let me move us into, Q&A. Please, nobody hit star six yet. People who missed last week or the week before that have been trying to talk and you know, were stuck and didn't get into the queue, let those people get in first. Also, new people, anybody that's never talked before or hasn't talked in a long time or has some questions, get into the queue now. It's star six to get into the queue. Everyone else, please hold off for another 10 or 15 seconds so those people can hit the star six button and get into the queue, and then we'll open it up to everybody. Okay, I'll let you know. Let's give another 5 seconds before anybody else gets into the queue, other than people who have been trying to talk, you know, and haven't had the opportunity. Okay, queue's open to everyone. Star six to get into the queue. Gerard, go ahead. You got it.
Okay, we're gonna open up here.
Make sure you hit the right button.
Yes, I got it. If I don't have it now, forget it. That doesn't mean I won't have a twitch. That happens every now and then. Connecticut, Crystal, you are unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Okay, I've been getting a lot of people to sign up and register on that. I've been back and forth in the court. They have my house in foreclosure. I've been thrown out of court 3 times. I was in court today. As a matter of fact, I had blown like 8 people down. So my case was the first case this morning because they sent me a letter stating that I have to be at my house within the next, 3 months. So, again, when I went back in there, I said, well, how on earth am I going to have to be at my house when I have the documents and the deeds to my property? You know, so what I did last week, you know, and they send me letters, I send them back. So I wrote the letter, I would like to speak to Mr. G, Federal Credit Union, and I want a sworn affidavit along with the document when I sign a legal binding contract with them, you know, and I want to see him in person. Well, guess what? The attorneys and nobody showed up today.
That's right. They don't have them.
No one.
Yeah, we don't want to go far. We don't want to go too far with a case because I don't open this up to cases.
Okay, but anyway, so we stayed in the court, and so like the judge was like, he started asking me questions and stuff like that, and I said, no, I never signed no contract. My property's paid for, so I put all my stuff in order and I numbered it numerically in order, and I gave him a copy. And again, he goes, well, where are they? You know, he was asking for the attorneys. Nobody was there. And he goes, well, somebody needs to call him. I'm like, first of all, if I hadn't shown up, they would have just taken it from me.
And you have filled out an intake form, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay, because we're going to be taking a new focus, a new direction, as I'm sure you heard. We've been talking about that the past hour, a new direction with this, and I think it's a pretty powerful direction. And I really do think these guys really got to be brain dead if they don't get some fear when we put this paperwork in.
Well,
because we're laying it out, and we're going to take it right into the federal court and lay it out.
So what I did, I stayed, because mine was like at 9 this morning, 9:30 this morning. I was like, I stayed with the other people, so I had a few of the people to stay with me, because other ones who came for me left. And I stayed until court closing, and the last case, they took 17 properties of this one man's property, and this other woman, she owned a business and everything, and she's worth like maybe $15 million or whatever, and they're trying to take everything. They even kidnapped her mother. You know, I mean, I couldn't believe that. I could not believe what I seen, and I'm like, oh my God. So,
did
like,
you send them to National Liberty Alliance?
That's what I did. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The party's listening on right now. One of three of the people are listening. So
great.
It was unbelievable. And I'm telling everybody to take their kids, go sit in the courts, and I tell them to tune in and, you know, contact the National Liberty Alliance on the calls, and I tell them to go on your website.
Look,
so
when the other side doesn't show up like that when they're scheduled and the judge says somebody has to call them, you have to say, Your Honor, I want this case dismissed right now because I'm ready to move ahead. And they're not here. They're defaulted. You need to dismiss this case right now.
That's what I asked him. He said he's going to review it. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back tomorrow.
He doesn't really have a choice because they're not there. They're defaulted. You say, let the record show the attorneys for the other side are a no-show, and I'm making a motion on the record to have the case defaulted and dismissed with prejudice.
Okay. And
you have to state that in open court, though, so it goes on the record.
Okay. I believe I did ask him I want to make a motion for dismissal. I did say that. And I'm going to go get the
anyway, we don't want to talk about cases too much.
Okay.
But that,
all right.
That's
okay.
Just good advice, okay?
All right.
Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Next person is Lily.
Hi, everybody. Today, I'm one of the
hold
CPS
on, hold
cases.
Hold on. I think, is she coming in loud to you, breaking your eardrums?
Yeah, she's pretty loud.
Okay, you're overmodulating. Just either lower your volume on your mic or pull your mic a little bit away from your mouth. Are you using a headset?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
How's
pull
that?
Your mic away a little bit, and if you can, lower your mic volume. Wow, is it coming through?
Okay, I've lowered it.
It sounds
Does
a
it
little
sound
bad.
Okay now?
Yeah, I'll put cushions between my head and my headset and my ears now. Go ahead. Good, try it.
Okay, how does it sound now?
Still loud.
Do
you know what your volume is on your mic?
I put it on 21.
You put it down to 10.
Oh, 10? All right.
Yeah,
I'll see if
loud.
I can hear it.
You're loud.
You're not
doing your speakers, that you're doing your mic, right?
Oh.
She's probably on her speaker.
Well, go ahead.
It's
talk
all right.
Softly.
Just,
talk softly. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because, all right. Well, today I wrote the letter to the local sheriff and the FBI and also the U.S. Marshal to basically go get my kids because the habeas corpus for CPS has been filed and defaulted as of 2 weeks ago. So I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen.
So what are you saying? You filed you talk.
No,
you
we filed the habeas corpus for her, and I guess she's getting the information to the sheriff and to the marshal. They probably don't know enough yet to do anything, but we'll be picking back up on the cases in the next week and a half. You know, right after the New Year's, that week we'll pick up. We had a special meeting to inform everybody of what we're doing. Everybody has got a case, and we have to get this constitutional course up and running before the 1st, because we're really falling behind the 8-ball, and it's really important to try to start to really get this education out to sheriffs. We do have some plans for sheriffs coming in now, and I don't know how many are coming in, but I understand there's quite a few.
Do you
and
have any
we need,
for...
We need to be able to educate them and so that they can understand what it is when these people violate the law. They need to understand that summary judgment is a violation of your constitutional rights, you know, and many other things. But go ahead.
Do you have anybody in the San Jose, Santa Clara, California area? as far as any contacts with sheriffs?
Well, I don't have any specific sheriff's names and counties. I can't talk too much about what I know about that. There's things going on. That's all I can tell you. And whether they're in that area or not, I don't know.
Okay, and then when I spoke to the U.S. Marshal today, he was looking for something from the court to give him direction to go get my kids. So I was kind of stuck
exactly,
there.
Exactly. And here again, you know, we'll pick up back up on the paperwork starting in the first week of January.
So then you'll have the court issue a writ of execution?
Well, did we do the – we did do the default with you, right? Well, I'll tell
right.
you what. Why don't you bring this up on Tuesday? We have a – not Tuesday, but the next meeting. We had a meeting last Tuesday. We should be having a meeting this weekend.
Tomorrow. Okay.
And
okay.
give a call to Linda to find out the place and time, and then we can pick these issues up because we don't want to do this on a Monday call. Otherwise, we get lost in cases, and people are here for other reasons, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you, John.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to go to the next question, which is wireless caller 0568 ending in. You've been on.
Yes, this is my first time.
Can we get their state?
What's
your name?
New Mexico. My name is Ann.
Ann, New Mexico.
I have a question. I don't want to get into my case because that's not what we're discussing, but I have a corrupt lawyer and judge that is violating all of my rights, my due process.
That
I want to
suggest that there are judges and lawyers that are not corrupt. But, you know, I haven't met one that isn't. They're all corrupt, you know, every single one of them. But go ahead.
Yeah.
So far.
I'm wanting to take them into the federal grand jury. Have you had much success with that? Can you point me towards some case law on that? And then can I get a copy of what you had read earlier?
Yeah, that will be posted once it's perfected, so you'll get that information. We do want people to understand this, so we will get it out once we get it perfected. We're still working on it, and we're working other paperwork to go along with it. But as far as grand juries, there are no common law grand juries actually sitting other than us, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And it's an uphill
battle.
Where is
that located?
It's throughout the whole nation. We meet right through this venue right here when we discuss a case. But right now, we're only working on things that will really get us into the court. We filed 13 papers already. Go to the news page, click on news on the top blue bar on the left side, click on news, and then you can read all the papers we filed. There are 13 of them. There's a 14th going in shortly. And these papers are written in order to start getting us leveraged into the court. Also, the habeas corpus is something that we're utilizing in order to leverage ourselves into the courts. And now the things we'll be doing with these mortgages, it'll also assist us. They're resisting, they're fighting, but there's a lot of weakness we're seeing in different areas, and, you know, we'll eventually get in. It's just going to take a little time longer. I don't think it's going to be much longer, to be honest. It could be weeks or months. But I'll tell you, it's a matter of really the pressure, getting all our papers, keep our papers going and flowing, keeping the pressure on, educating. And the big thing is the educating of the sheriffs and the marshals and the FBI. And we're offering them right now. We're offering every single one of them. And we'll be getting a special fax going out shortly. As soon as we get this up online, which should be the first week of January, we're going to get a special fax going out to just FBI. We'll send it out to everybody, but first we'll send it out to the sheriffs, the FBI, and the marshals, giving them giving them reason on why they should come out and look at our course, and give them a really good course in the Constitution. When they get through the course that we're going to give them, they're going to know the law. And
What about the federal grand jury?
The federal grand jury you're talking about is the statutory grand jury, and they do seat them in the federal districts every now and then. They have one running. But you would be like trying to get into Fort Knox. They keep them protected. By law, you can bring them evidence, but I'd like to see you do it. We got the one girl down in New York City that has been trying to get to the foreman of the federal grand juries, and my goodness, they want to arrest her. They keep them so insulated. They're violent. You see, the reason we
and they
started,
arrested someone in Florida, and they arrested someone out
yeah,
there west.
Look,
also trying
started,
to get to the grand jury.
We started. The, we
because
started,
they filed a complaint. Against
they
a judge,
let, they will not let you talk to the federal grand jury. They got them. Look, they're a statutory puppet grand jury. They pick them based on they psychoanalyze and pick people that they know will be sympathetic to the cases. You've heard that the prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. You've heard that saying. Well, the reason that is because he handpicks the juries, and he makes sure that he gets people on there that are going to rule the way he does, the way he wants. So you can't use them. The reason we started this whole movement was for that reason, because you can't get to them, and even the ones that you can get to, they control the jury foreman, and they make sure they got a foreman that doesn't bring this stuff to the rest of the jury. It's impossible. We started the common law grand jury because it rises out of the people. You got to read U.S. versus Williams. If you want to understand the grand jury, you need to read U.S. versus Williams, because he lays out what the true grand jury is supposed to be and how it's truly supposed to operate. And he lays it out and he says, look, it's essentially almost like a fourth branch government, because none of the other branches can tell it what to do. They can't tell it how to assemble. They can't tell it how to come into being, because it comes out of the Bill of Rights. It doesn't come out of any of the other three branches. So when they tell you, you need a judge, you need a prosecutor to call, judges and prosecutors can call grand juries, but they do not have exclusive rights to them. They cannot tell the people that we cannot assemble 25 people, do an investigation, and write an indictment. That is our right, because we are the bosses. The government works for us. When we come in and we say, look, there's 25 of us assembling, we have a right to assemble. It all comes under our First, Second, Fifth Amendment rights. All these rights come together, and we exercise them as the people's grand jury, as the common law grand jury under the Bill of Rights, under the Fifth Amendment. So that's what this whole thing is about, to get us in the courts, and that's exactly, we're very close to being in. And once we get these papers filed, then the reason we're working so hard on the sheriffs is because we're at the stage where we're going to need the sheriff to enforce either the default or the indictment that we're going to give out. So we need that law enforcement official. We need to educate him. He's the guy that's going to go and arrest whoever's egregious, you, whether it's the judge, whether it's the bank person, wherever you're at in the case. You know, you need some kind of law enforcement official, and that's what we're working on right now. You know, look, we want the officials that are in there. The sheriff is really good because he's elected by the people. So you get a good sheriff. And look, the sheriff is a no-brainer, because you can run an educated common law sheriff, and in within 2 years, you can have that sheriff working in your county, and he can enforce these things. He can stand up for the common law grand jury, and that's all it's going to take, because they're not going to mess around with a grand jury of 25 people and a sheriff. I don't care who they think they are, they will not come. I had one guy say, you can't arrest a judge and put him in the sheriff's prison because they'll storm it with 50 officers for every one deputy. They'll never do it, because at that point, the sheriff can deputize and call the militia. They're not going to do it, because it's not going to be something popular coming out against the people. You do a rogue act like put somebody in a secret prison, they'll bring out the army and blow you up, and the people will be clapping. They'll call you a terrorist. So that's where we are. We're doing lawful, constitutional, legal, lawful actions. That's all we do. And as far as the federal grand jury goes, good luck getting a hold of them. We've had other people, like John said, they get arrested trying to go in there.
What location are you talking about?
All over the nation. New York, I know personal stuff because I live in New York. And in New York City, we've had people down there trying to get to the grand juries, trying to give the grand juries evidence, and even stipulated evidence that they're completely ignoring, and the marshals down there are acting as guards, keeping the people away from the grand jury, the grand jury foreman, and the courts. They lock the courts down and they act like the people are the enemy. So you can't get in there. I mean, look at, go to a court and hand out things on jury nullification, which is our rights, and they'll arrest you. They'll arrest you for jury tampering. You're an American and you have information for a jury, and if you stand out on the street in front of a courthouse and you hand out paperwork that says, look it, you can rule on the law as well as the facts, they're telling these juries that you're not allowed to rule on the law. And what that, you know, what it means is that a jury that rules on the law, that the prosecutor can bring in all the evidence and all the witnesses that says that the guy broke the law undeniably, but the jury can say, look it, this law is a bad law, or this law is being misapplied in this case, and they can go not guilty in spite of the evidence because they're ruling on the law. They're not ruling on the evidence necessary. I mean, they rule on evidence, don't get me wrong, but in spite of the evidence, the jury can go not guilty because they don't like the law. That's how prohibition went away, when juries refused to convict for prohibition violations. The prosecutors stopped bringing it, and eventually they took prohibition away because they couldn't convict for it anymore. So that's what this movement is about, Ann, and that's what we're doing. I don't want to take up too much time, but go read U.S. versus Williams, and you'll understand where we're at and why we're doing what we're doing, okay?
So U.S. versus Williams, was that filed in the courts?
That's Judge Scalia's decision. It's on our website. It's kind of what we based everything we did off of.
You'll find a copy on our front page. There'll be a link.
If you read our front page,
you'll find a link on the front page.
Look, we found that, we didn't sleep for 3 days. We were so excited. When we realized what it said and what he said and what he did in that case to lay out.
So that was a U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
Yes, this is the Supreme Court, Judge Scalia. He's still on there. He's in his 80s. He's still on there. But I think it was a 1991 case, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And you need to read that because the whole thing has nuggets all over it. He educated the people when he wrote that. He did a real, real good job. And because of that paper, the common law grand jury grew out of that because he gave us the courage to go ahead and do what we knew was right. And we knew all these things, but to have it laid out like that by a federal judge was very powerful. Okay?
But thank you for the information. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm going to move to Patrick in New York. Thank you, Ann. And Patrick, you've been unmuted.
Hey, I was just on Facebook, and I noticed you guys there's a couple different National Liberty Alliance, and I just wanted to make sure I was going to the right group or the right page. There was one that's a page that you can like that's got about 6,000 members, and then there's one that is a actual group that you can join that's got about 1,000-something members.
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Both of them are ours. We've only seen two out there. They're both ours.
Okay, and then I just found one that's the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, and it's under construction. Is that yours as well?
United States Common Law Grand Jury? What did you find?
It's under construction.
It's very plain. It just says under construction.
What does it say now? Is it spelled out, or is it letters? Unified?
Yeah, it's all written out. Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury.
What is it? .com, .net, .org?
No, on Facebook.
It's on Facebook.
Oh, on Facebook. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if anybody's opened that for us. We do have people that are working. Tanner, maybe if Tanner's here, he can talk a little bit about that. Gary may know a little bit about these things, so if any of those guys know.
It just says page under construction, and it's only got 3 likes, so I mean, I'm sure it's a newer thing. I was just making sure it was you guys.
I think we have people in different states that opened up Facebook pages for their state. You might find a unified common law grand jury under a state that somebody set up for their own state. I mean, we don't run that. like John says, we have the two sites that we're actually, you know, we have people looking at and monitoring. But, you know, there may be other sites out there that might even be members of ours, but they're not the official, you know, National Liberty Alliance site.
Right. That's why, you know, I just wanted to make sure it was you guys that.
Yeah. But, you know, we're really the only ones in the nation that use the unified common law grand jury. That's a phrase that we coined early on when we went into the court system, because they were calling it the unified court system. And we said, well, why can't we be the unified grand jury? If they can have a unified court, we can be a unified grand jury. And I had never heard of a unified grand jury before that time. So we basically invented that little logo, or whatever you want to call it. Okay.
My other thing was I've been talking to a guy who he does a lot of postal mailing, and I know a lot of the issues is doing the postal cost of sending out a lot of letters. Is there any way we can cut those costs by either sending letters based off of the statutes at large for postal mail being sent for basically letters being sent for 6 cents postage for half an ounce?
Yeah, we started doing that. We started doing that, but we can't take the chance to do this with these papers that are going into the courts.
Right.
We're going to do it, but we just can't. If we did a mass mailing...
You can't count on it.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I get that.
And it'll be, you know, with all the work it would take to put in to do this, and then they'd return it, you know, it would be a disaster for us. So
right, it would be. So what I'm working on, I just wanted to share this, is I'm getting one of those. You can get a $15 stamp at Walmart. That's a rubber stamp that you can personalize. And I'm going to be citing the different laws that allow for lower cost and postage to send letters, you know, private letters, drop letters, or whatever, so that I can do mass mailings as well. And so I just wanted to give that tip out there. You're setting up a fax now to try to cut back on mailing costs, or what? Like how?
No. We have 8 fax lines that we send out. Whenever we send anything out to anybody, we send a copy by fax to every elected individual on the federal and state, highest state levels.
Okay.
So they get a mail and they get a fax.
Okay. So are we still using snail mail just for...
Snail mail, we're using actual mail for serving papers to make them legal and for them to get in the mail. This is a paper you've been served. We're using mail for that.
Okay, so for them to be lawfully served, they have to actually get some hard paper.
Physical paper, yes.
That you touched and took
Correct.
To them.
With a seal. Okay. We have our own seal.
Some of the courts will accept a fax transmittal, but we don't. We try to keep it under common law. And under common law, you want to use an actual hard copy with a stamp on it. Okay.
Right.
Some courts say that they want them electronically filed. You know, they want stuff electronically filed. I mean, if you got to go into a court and they want it electronically filed, you can do that. But we always send a hard copy in whether they like it or not. You
right.
know what I mean?
And do you guys, I get all that. And so my next question is, do you guys have like a local paper or like, for instance, there's a paper up here in northern New York. It's Cicero, New York, that it's called The Patriot. And they send out, you know, she has her own paper, the lady who prints this paper. And I don't know if it's cheaper to do mass education that way, to educate people by your own, media or your own paper.
Well, your own paper is tough because it takes so much work, you know, and getting it out. But we send press releases to all the major papers, and nobody ever prints them, I don't think. But we got a lot of alternative news out there that will go ahead and print that stuff. I mean, that's all evidence against these managed news medias, you know, because we send out press releases. And when they refuse to print that stuff, especially when it's a bigger case that we're on and we file papers, they really, you know, by not reporting it and not putting in a press release, really what they're doing is indicting themselves, really. Because we have evidence of all those things going out. And right now that's not the battle we're making. But at some point, it will be. We will address that. The common law grand jury will address the news media because it's by virtue of their their cooperation that America is where it is. They were a big part of the covering up and the ruse and the keeping of the news.
Aided and abetted.
They aided and abetted.
Right. Aided
absolutely.
And abetted,
absolutely.
Yep.
And look at, they're not going to be untouched by all this too. You know, when we get papers filed in the court and recognized, and we have a judge and a sheriff and an indictment in there, you watch how quickly the papers come alive. All of a sudden you watch and see, because they're going to want to say, look, we printed it at last minute is what they're going to do. You know, but anyway, I want
right.
to move ahead.
Can I do one more quick one? The last one
yeah,
was, I know
really
we've been
quick.
Doing these call to actions.
What's
right,
that?
These call to actions we've been doing, and we've been encountering issues with the gatekeepers. Are we working on anything to work with the gatekeepers to try to get them to pass on the message?
Well, I don't know what specific gatekeepers you're having trouble with. I mean, look at you.
Yeah, what define the gatekeepers?
Yeah,
what
I mean, if
well,
they come
well,
in
the
and they say we're not going to let you in, you
oh,
say,
clerks.
Well, let me talk to your boss or whatever. I mean, you got
right. The clerks, when we're sending letters, making phone calls, doing call to actions, and the clerks say, well, we're not passing on a message. We've got enough phone calls already. You know, are we doing?
Well,
anything
they're not.
To try
they're
target?
Not doing that. They're not doing that on their own accord. They're being told to say those things. That
oh,
means
okay.
we're getting to them. Okay.
Okay.
Don't
I'm
think
done.
That
Thank
we're not
guys.
Getting to them. Believe me, the clerks are telling the judges everything that's going on,
yeah.
and
yeah.
Believe me.
Well, you know, when they say we're not passing a message on, we've had enough phone calls already. You say that's okay. This phone call has been logged, and what is your name? You know what I mean? That's what you say, because we're making a record of who we talk to. Not that anything's going to come out of it, but you never know. You know what I mean? I mean, if they say we didn't get it, and we can document that they had X many calls, they're not going to want to go there. So I would just tell them, look at, you know, this call's being documented, and can I have your name, please? And that
right.
that will really upset them. You know what I mean? That'll really put the fear of the people in them. That's all I would do. I wouldn't get nasty. That's all I would do. You know,
right.
and I mean,
right,
look, they may hang up on you. We've had that happen, too. But what are you going to do? I mean, that you can't help, you know.
Right.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Next question is Jay from North Carolina.
Hey, Gerard. I'm on every week. I don't have a question. I just have a comment. I know there's probably not 5,000 people on this call, but to hear John ask for money every week is just heartbreaking. And come on, people, we got to fund this thing. Give $5 a month. If you don't give $5 a month, I don't want to do that. I give $100 a year. So please, please, please. That's this is the best thing I know that's going on right now. So please help fund this thing. That's
yeah,
all I got.
I believe it's the only peaceful way, and thank you, Jay. And Jay is our blacktop cowboy. He's out there on the roads trucking, listening to us with a computer and a phone and driving an 18. Oh, I shouldn't say that. he usually stops in his rest area and listens to our show. But anyway, he's been a longtime member. Thanks for that, Jay.
I've been on since you guys were the New York committee men.
Absolutely.
So.
Yep. You got your stripes. You know what I mean? We appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. New York Maud.
Oh.
Our favorite New Yorker. How's it going?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm having a little salad.
Okay.
Well,
that's good for
I called up California this morning
mm-hmm.
for the young man that's being evicted.
Yeah.
And I spoke to some. I put it in the notes. You know, I put it in the comments. I left a name. I spoke to a sheriff, a sergeant, who said that he. That they could not, if they got an order from the court to evict, that they were going to do it. That was
right.
it.
Right.
Never heard of the common law, never heard of the common law. He asked me, somebody from New York was calling up in California. I said, because we're a national organization and we support each other.
Right, right. You tell him what you should say is, look, it's your duty to know that these things are done lawfully. If there's not a wet ink signature, if there's not a signed affidavit, then what you're doing is you're doing an unlawful eviction, and you could and you'll be held responsible for that. It's your duty to know the law. You put feet right to the fire. You know,
and the paper we spoke about today, by the way, is directly to the sheriff, and we are going everybody that is going under a where they're going through a default on a mortgage and they're taking the properties. Every one of those sheriffs will be getting a letter from us. We will be make it very clear on how they're breaking the law and that they need to understand this. And we'll also invite them to take a constitutional course. And that if they don't do the right thing, then they're going to be become part of that conspiracy. So I think we formulated a really good plan, and we'll be a little more clearer maybe in the next week or two, and we'll start executing it in the first week of January.
Well, I'll speak.
And that includes in your case too, because look at your case. We're going to come back into it from another perspective now, and we're going to go after those individuals. We have their names. We know who they are, and now that we understand how great this fraud is, I mean, this is a huge, not just on the constitutional side, even on the statutory side. My goodness, these people are in trouble on the statutory side as much as they are on the constitutional side. So these sheriffs and the marshal and the FBI agent in charge, they need to understand this, and we're going to make sure that they thoroughly understand this.
Well, I have some strategy. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow.
Okay.
Because it's not part of the call. I saw you yesterday.
Uh-oh.
I saw the two of you, Gerard, lying down on the plaid cushion.
No, I wasn't lying down. That's my big chair. I can't hardly get in and out of it.
Yeah, it's a relaxing chair. He's kicked back. He thinks,
He looks like he's lying down. But anyway, it was a great interview, and I posted it all over the place in different Facebook groups. I posted it in the Thrive group and some Here It Comes, and I'm hoping that people are going to look at it. I forgot to post it on our own Facebook because people were looking for it.
We should get it up on National Liberty Alliance's Facebook.
Yeah,
Gary, maybe you can make sure that gets up there. Okay.
Well, Maude will do it. She said she'll do it.
I'll post it. I'll just share it from my Facebook. So it was great to see that. I know that CCN, they're also great fighters. They're great fighters.
That
television source comes out of Holland, and they've been doing everything to get this stuff post out into the world. They're wonderful people.
And unlike the media around here, they're actually doing their job.
Oh yeah, but these are real idealist people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the couple that runs this CCN, does it on a shoestring like everybody.
Yeah,
and
that's the best.
It's but they're doing a great job, and I was very proud to see you on that yesterday because I know who founded that channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it, and everybody should do what you do. When you see something like that we do or whatever, you should post it all over the place because that's part of where our success is going to come from. We have to get – if the people don't know what we're doing, how do we expect them to rally around us?
Yeah, the only problem with CCN is that their viewership is very limited.
Yeah.
You know, if you go on YouTube, you see it just barely. It's unfortunate because it's like an insider group. That's
yeah,
why
but
I
that
posted.
That's also being simulcast through Liberty Beacon, and he has like 50 websites, and he posts.
Oh, Liberty Beacon, that's that gentleman that was interviewing you also.
Yes, he has his own thing, and he puts it all over the place, and I forget how many people he has, but I think it's in the millions, isn't it, John? He claims He claims fame.
Well,
he's
got a pretty big membership, but I don't, or listenership, or what do you want to call it, but I don't have any idea in numbers. But he's growing, and he's growing rather rapidly, and he's been well established.
Well, when they tell you that your listenership is in the millions, a lot of times that's the potential listenership. It doesn't mean that you got 2 million people. It means that you're transmitting where 2 million people come on. You know what I mean?
But you know what? I was thinking, because I listen to a lot of these alternative news interviews, and there's some that really have a big following. And like dark something or other. I wonder if one can get you linked up to them.
Well maybe if people can get a copy of this, what we just did the other, you know, just this earlier this week, get a copy of this to them, to other news medias that are on online. Maybe they'll be interested in calling us up and taking us on.
Right. Yeah.
Look, at when we did the Coruanta, we had all kinds of people picking it up. Even Anonymous picked it up and said, mail this everywhere. And that just happened by itself. We didn't do that, you know.
By the way, you know, a very good place to post your information is the Nasara News.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Nasara News, yep.
You know, you can post anything on there, I mean, obviously. And you can post it there. I mean, unless it doesn't have enough dignity. But there's lots of information. So if you have a case that you want to put out into the world, and they have a big following.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody that is part of these blogs and these different things, you should.
I'm going to do. Are you familiar with Ascension with Mother Earth?
I don't know for sure.
No. That's a very big blog. It's international.
Uh-huh.
I'm very friendly with the person whose blog it is. I'm going to send him a link to your interview, and if you get that on there, it'll go international.
That's what Roger Landry does too. He does a blog and he sends it out to the different blogs, and so he's really working on getting the word out. And you're right, a big blog like that's the place to put it. Put the link.
Yeah, I'll write to Anerky.
Yeah.
And tell him and suggest that he post it.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. So hopefully we can, you know, we can go viral and stay there very soon.
So more people understand, because I think now we're more ready to do the things that we're doing, because you have more of a structure, you know, and there's everything develops little by little, you know.
Absolutely.
Because when we all started 3 years ago, with a couple of guys in New York trying to break into the state's house.
Well, you know, we never stop learning. You know that. I mean, every time we put a case in, and every time they answer, and every time we have to do something, it's always a learning experience.
I know.
You know, and you always have to switch your strategies, and you know, it's a very interesting thing, because there's never a dull moment, really. Anyway, thank you, Maude.
I can't afford any more non-dull moments, I got to tell you. You know, I'm lucky that I haven't had a heart attack.
Yeah, exactly. Well, God bless you. And you know you're in our prayers, too. You know that.
Yeah, I know. You're in my prayers, too.
Well, thank you. We can use them.
I know. All right, Gerard, I'll let you go. And I wish everybody online who's listening a happy Christmas and a good coming into the new year. Are we having a call next week?
Yep, we'll be here.
Okay.
All right. What else would you want to be doing on your holiday?
Well.
But spending it with friends. Anyway,
right,
thank you.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's also, you know, it's a celebration of the light, basically. The light coming into the planet in the form of Jesus Christ.
There you go.
So it's a celebration of the light. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the whole baby birth and all that kind of stuff, because it's really about the energy that's coming into the planet. And all of us meditating or thinking about it at the same time is a huge force field.
Well, the darkness can't comprehend it, and we know that. So that's the important thing, yeah.
Gerard, I'm going to send you something about a history of Islam. It's a really important lecture. It's really important. I posted it on my Facebook because most people don't really understand, and it's really an amazing put together. This guy did it. It's called The History of Islam. Anybody who's on the call who knows me and is on my Facebook friend, you know, I posted it there.
Mm. Okay, okay. I'll look for it. Thank you, Maude.
Yes. Okay. Good night, guys.
Good night. Have a good night.
Good
Thank
night, Maude.
Night, John.
Okay. All right. With that, we'll open up Illinois' Gary. You've been unmuted.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I'm a new caller on your program. I don't know your website. I don't know. I've listened for 3 weeks now, three Mondays, and I have a really big dilemma, and I needed some answers.
Okay. I'll try. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I was born and raised in Denver, Colorado, and I am the only child, and my parents are deceased. My mother worked for an attorney, and so did my father. And I believe they made the attorney a will for my property there in Denver. I no longer live in Denver, but I'm babysitting right now with my grandson, so I'm trying to get through this as quickly as possible. I know my mother made a will. She knew she was dying. She worked for the attorney. He has since died as well. And I've done a little research looking for, like, insurances and things because, you know, my mother told me she was dying. I was, like, 15, 16 years old. And I'm now 52 years old, and I have no answers, and I needed some closure here.
What state are you in?
I'm in Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. And what's your first name? Because you're coming up as Illinois' Gary. I don't know why.
My name is Cordelia Espinoza.
Okay. So
and I'm in Colorado, and I was born and raised in Denver, Colorado, and I since moved to the San Luis Valley in 1978 with mother. She died here in 79.
So what you were trying to tell us, let me see if I understand. You're trying to tell us is that your parents owned property and different things, and when she had passed away, I guess your father passed away first, and she passed away, you were 15, and there was...
Mother passed away first, and then dad, yes.
When did your father pass away?
In 1993.
Okay. So when he passed away, are you saying that no one found a will or anything?
He told me that there were some men that came to our home in Denver in black suits with a check, a really big check, and it was in the evening, and it frightened him, and he didn't accept it. So... as a young kid, you know, you just think of today. You don't think of tomorrow, next month, next year. You want to get the grandson? And it's just I'm looking for closure. I started calling insurance companies.
What are you looking for? I mean, what do you think that's out there that you're trying to find?
I'm trying to find my house that I was born and raised in that my mother gave me.
Okay, so you're trying to find out who took ownership of that.
And he had a son, this particular attorney, Scott McDougall is the son, and I believe he just took the will and took the house and the policies and everything since they made them power of attorney.
Right. Well,
and he's worth at least $50 million.
Let me just say, I don't think you're going to get anywhere at this point in time trying to discover anything while the court system is in the way it is. Once we get to the other side of things, when we the people finally get into the courts and bring justice back into the courts and set up the jury system in every county across the nation under common law and under the Constitution, then at that point, that's when you might want to try to do an investigation, and you can do a show cause, or you can do a paper to call them into the court, or you can go to the grand jury and talk to them, and they can do something maybe. But you'd have to have some information to bring to them in order for them to look into it and investigate it. After all, the job of the grand jury is to make right any wrong. So if you have been violated by another individual or by someone in the government, whether they're in the government or not in the government, and you've been injured and you're seeking restitution, they are obligated to discover and get you that restitution through the courts. So I'm trying to understand you.
So this particular son of this attorney owns low-income apartments in Denver, at least three of them. He's worth $50 million plus dollars.
Have you asked him?
No, I have not asked him. I've got his real estate number. You know, the number when I did the investigation.
Why don't you go and see him? Are you far from him?
I'm about 5 hours from him, and it's winter here, you know.
You could do a letter then. You know, do a certified letter requesting information concerning your situation.
Okay.
And see what kind of response you get. You start from there. But with
okay.
that, I don't want to get too much deeper than that. But as you pursue, you know, look at it. If you want to try to do something, again, I suggest you can gather information, but don't try to do anything in the courts now because you'll never get anywhere. You have to wait until people get into the courts, and that, of course, is what we're doing. And then you'll have the opportunity. But
in my office, on my desk.
If you can collect information and get evidence of the fact that there was something there and now it's gone and you're trying to find it, and if you get enough evidence up, you can bring it to the jury and they should be able to discover and settle
Turn
it.
Turn the light on for him, Brian. Sorry about that. I wanted your phone number. You know, I have another issue, but I'm listening to you and I approve.
Well,
I was notified by a neighbor.
What you could do is go out to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay, National Liberty Alliance.
.org.
National Liberty Alliance website.
Right. NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Read the front
page. NationallyLiberty.org.
NationalLibertyAlliance.org. And
okay.
Read our
National
front page and watch the
Liberty
video.
LibertyAlliance.org.
Better.
Yes.
And read our front page, watch the videos on the front page, get a better idea of who and what we are, and then you can go to directory and all the phone numbers of everybody is pretty much in there.
Well,
okay.
I do appreciate it. I think y'all are wonderful.
Directory.
I think you're wonderful. I commend what you're doing. And I have a gentleman here, the one that we've listened for 3 weeks together. He's been dying to get on the line, and his name is Michael. He Roan. Here, Michael. You got to hurry because they're...
Hello, sir. My name is Michael Giron. I'm also from Colorado, the San Luis Valley. I have a daughter in the Department of Corrections in the penitentiary with no cause. They used the unconstitutional 267-268 Denali without dismissal. The case was dropped. It was case 2012 CR155, dismissed May 7th of 2013, Alamosa. Patty Swift picked it up, takes it to Rio Grande, where it has no merit. Another case, simple, trespassing misdemeanor, modified to F5 with intent. Intent is a crime that never happened, and they used it to sentence her. It was a conspiracy, Amen versus people. One does their part, the other one does another part to pursue what they want.
Let me tell you what you might want to do. Okay, so what you want to try to do is get an habeas corpus, I presume, to try to get her out of this system.
What you want to do is
go to the website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay,
gotcha.
And when you get there, you'll see there's a a frowny face on the right side. You know, it's an upside down yellow
sidebar.
Yeah, it's on the right sidebar, and he's holding a help sign up. Click on that.
Okay.
And then follow through the instructions to the type of case that you have, and then fill out the you'll have a form there, intake form. You fill that out, and you follow the instructions, and then eventually someone will talk to you and help you finish off everything with the affidavit and everything, and we'll see what we can do about helping you. But first and foremost, you do want to read our front page, watch the videos on the front page, get to know who we are, understand a little more. You might, you know, look at, you're going to want to defend yourself and learn, so take our civics course. We're going to have a constitutional course up hopefully by January 1st, and there are other things coming up also. So educate yourself, be prepared, know how to get in and out of the courts, understand how the courts work, and become part of the solution.
I've been with you for about 9 months. I did a case for her in federal court, case number 14-1388. I took it all the way to the 10th Circuit, United States Court of Appeals, 10th Circuit, Denver. It was dismissed because I am not an attorney.
Yeah, they love to play that card. But you see, there's more education you need, so continue on your education, because you need to understand that if they throw you out because you're not an attorney, it's because they have you in their venue. And you have to realize that. You have to stay away from their venue, make sure you hold your own venue, which is a court of record. And when they try to tell you that, you're going to have to go get yourself a lawyer because you can't represent yourself, you have to have a lawyer represent you, or whatever they say, you say, you know, that's when you let them know, well, hey, look, I opened a court of record. I have my unalienable right of justice and access into the courts. And there is no place that in law, in the Constitution, that requires me to have an attorney. So,
well, the other thing is he's defending his daughter. So he's one step removed. That's the other reason.
Well, still, is true. That makes it harder. But again, common law, you could do what you want. You know, you can represent her and work to help her to do what you have to do. But again, it is an uphill battle. They're going to fight you tooth and nail. But the more you learn and the more intimidating you can be to them, the more you'll get through the system. But it's an uphill battle.
But it'll help to have a habeas corpus filed with the National Liberty Alliance, because they're with the common law grand jury, unified common law grand jury, because they're getting some name recognition, and they may take you serious this time and same games with you. I mean, that's your hope anyway. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're a big plus. You made my life. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless. Okay, Carolina Andrew, you're unmuted.
Hello. I have a question about a landlord that I used to rent off from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't normally do cases again. It seems like
I'm sorry. I was wondering, do I need to go back into the Liberty Alliance and fill out another form to try to see if I can deal with this situation?
A landlord-tenant case, we have education on how you could, you know, approach the courts. We have a how to get in the court type thing, and that would be along those lines. You know, that's a civil case.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know what they did, what the particulars are. Sometimes it can cross over into a violation of your unalienable rights or criminal. But you know, you have to know how to use their system, because that's the system. You know, you can still open a court of record, but you got to know the basics of what they're going to be doing. Because you know, if you don't know how to file motions, and you don't know, you know, and you may, or you, a lot of times you don't want to be filing a motion because it takes you out of your court. You have to know all that stuff, you know what I mean? So you have to educate yourself in order to navigate in there and do the right thing, you know? I mean, we've done cases for ourselves. John's been in numerous times in court,
Yeah, the key points, though, that we're, the only cases we're doing is people that are under jeopardy of being incarcerated or are incarcerated,
right.
People who are losing their children, and people losing their homes. We're not doing any other case, just those. Those are kind of emergency cases, and it's advantageous both for the people that we're doing it for and for us, because it gives us the leverage into the federal courts, because they're all federal offenses. Your case wouldn't be a federal offense. It would be a local thing. And, you know, you'll have to just educate yourself. If it's an unrighteous thing that's happening, you know, in the future, you'll have the jury there that can deal with that, because you can always come up and talk to the jury. You see, once the people get into the courts, there'll be a phone number for every county, and you'll be able to talk with the administrations for the grand for the juries, and you'll have your access. Anybody wants to talk to the jury, they'll make an appointment and they'll come up and be able to talk to the jury. You have every right to be able to have access to your jury, your grand jury.
And, those local cases, the judges do violate the law with impunity. You know what I mean? There
absolutely.
Are,
yeah.
They don't give you your due process and stuff like that. So there's plenty of room, you know, to be filing cases. But like John says, we're trying to get people out of jail and restore their children, because these are the plague on the nation right now. So
okay. The other question I have.
Yeah.
When you guys will be talking about the family court cases tomorrow, right?
I don't know. The family court cases? Oh, that's anybody that has a habeas corpus filed.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have a day and a time that we announce to people. The people who have cases filed, they come to that meeting. Nobody else is welcome to that meeting but the people with cases. It's a closed group.
We also have a case with you guys.
Then you can come to the meeting. Then you should know where and when it is and what's going on. But don't speak about it on live, because we keep making these slips and things. So,
right. Yes,
but people, you know, we'll start getting people coming there that don't belong there. It's a private thing for people with cases.
Yeah. So if you have a question on that, you should go there and ask there and get an answer. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Next question. It looks like Auntie Jin.
Oh, it's Ginger. Hey, I changed it on my profile thing from Texas. Hi, guys. I so enjoyed your program, and especially seeing your faces. You know, Paul loved his face-to-faces, because body language is 84% of communicating, you know, the twinkly eyes. It was a delight. It really was very informative. Going back to Anne's question about the corporate, her corrupt attorney. If she was to file a civil case in the statutory courts, it would go nowhere, correct? So she should wait until the common law juries are up and going?
Yeah, because they control everything, and they're so corrupt, and especially on a civil case, they don't care,
I think she was seeking an answer to what she could do right now as of this moment. So anyway, I saw in the newsletter Mabel's case, she was foreclosed on already. My call was dropped, and I don't know if you addressed that already, but what happened there?
Mabel's case, I'm not familiar.
It's on the newsletter. It says she was foreclosed on. Hold on just a minute. Let me go back to
You're not talking about Maud, are you?
It says Mabel on the...
Oh, no, maybe it's somebody else, Mabel.
Hold on. It may be
a case I'm not familiar with, but that doesn't mean we don't have it.
It says case number 2, Mabel Marson eviction.
Uh-huh.
Scheduled for December 18th. Unfortunately, has already been evicted.
Yeah, I don't know particulars. I don't know if anybody else on the call does. I don't know if Jan or Gary knows which one that is. What state is she in? Where is she at?
I don't know.
I think I'm a little familiar with the case, but I'm not sure what the status is at the moment. I'd have to talk maybe with...
On the newsletter, it says she was already evicted.
Oh, okay. Right. Then, and we're still going through. Look, at anybody who's lost their home, they can get it back because the whole thing was done on fraud.
Okay.
So, people shouldn't, I know it's a horrible thing, especially around Christmas time, but it's a horrible thing, people getting thrown out of their own homes and losing it. Look, they can sell that home and do what they want, but the bottom line is it's like anything else that's stolen. When you get stolen property, it goes back to the owner. And that's what we're going to do here. These properties are going to go back to the owner. They're going to have to answer to more than one person. Because maybe they had it sold to another person. Now they're going to have to answer to that person too, aren't they?
Okay. Now, where can I pick? Okay, where can I on the website pick this up?
If she filed the habeas corpus on it, you look for filing. You look
okay.
For following
got it.
Habeas
yeah.
corpus.
Yeah. Okay.
And
got it. Yeah.
There, you'll find it, right? I mean, that's how you. That's the best way to keep track of it. You know.
Okay, got it. Now,
they evicted her doesn't mean anything to us. We're going to keep going with that habeas corpus because it has to be answered.
Okay,
so we don't care what they do. We'll come back. You can come back later and get damages for what they do.
Okay, wonderful. Well, great. Now, regarding as a previous business broker and fundraiser. May I make a suggestion? And I think it's, I know it's biblical. You don't start to build something until you got all your ducks in a row or whatever. And may I suggest that you, like Gerard said at the meeting the other day about the mosaic pecking order of things.
Right.
I still have yet to hear from who the new Dallas or the new Texas director is, the other one went away. I needed a letter of explanation.
Hold on
just a minute. Let me finish. And then I needed the reason, I'm a reasonable kind of gal, just give me a reason. I wanted the reason why Joseph and the bunch were I was not to be associated with them anymore. I did want to see. I needed clarification on that. And then I do want to hear from my director, my state coordinator or whatever. And then I tried to call my Denton County guy, and he's not receiving phone calls. Or he's not. That number does not receive phone calls. So these were just things I know that need to be carved out. But I would like clarification on that. And then, to get the funds raised, to get the money issue settled. I would recommend that each. State coordinator, get with his people, get the relationships of people that they know are wonderful patriots who've got money and who will invite them to invest in NLA and then get it funded and there we go. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to ask anymore. And I can think of quite a few names, if you guys will come up with an invitation letter, and we can get it to them and get us funded, and then, boom, money's a tool. You got to have it.
Well, we've been trying to work on funding for years and always looking for that rich uncle or something, but he never shows up, I guess. But look, we've talked with people with money, and they got other things they would prefer doing. They're not even paying attention to what we're doing. Somewhere down the line, maybe someone will realize what we're doing and have some money and maybe support us. But until then, we're going to survive under widow's mite. We've survived till this day. Our papers are being held back a little bit right now, but look, ultimately that's God's will anyway, so it is what it is. It's going to be held back. But it'll go out as soon as it can go out, and it'll happen. Now, as far as the Texas situation, we had a sort of a debacle out there. We had the leadership that started taking people down the wrong road, and they're going to get people arrested. We are very, very clear in what we're doing and what our goals are and how we're doing it, and we're not doing anything that's going to get anyone in trouble. We are so rock solid in the law, in the Constitution, in our founding fathers, in the founding principles, and biblical principles, in United States Supreme Court rulings. There's no reason to go off onto other strange things. So these people, some of these people on the higher level were also making money off of this thing, and they were robbing our membership and using it to mine for their own purposes. Some of it is ego, some of it was money, and when we catch these things, we nip it as quick as we can. Now, it's unfortunate, because this happened a little while ago, it's unfortunate that we haven't got the paperwork together on it, because I did tell the person who is mostly informed in this to get me the details on all the specifics, and then I was going to write a personal letter to everyone in Texas to explain what has happened to the leadership and what took place and why we had to break away from them or cut them off. And now we're looking for people to step up and take control of the people in the state as far as organizing and leading them to help grow the process in Texas. So I will talk with Gary tomorrow. He dropped the ball on this, I guess, and the weekend came, and I know I haven't been around that much this weekend. But we'll get back up on top of it. We'll get it out.
It happens. But just do me a favor and then just have the new coordinator give me a heads up and a contact.
As soon as we get the message out to all of Texas and then we get someone to step up, then we'll put the message out on who that person is and give the contact information. We'll send it out to Texas and get them communicating.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, guys, and have a Merry Christmas.
Amen to that. That's right. Praise the Lord.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next question is John from Alaska. Are you there, John?
Can you hear me, John?
I can. Yes, you sound very well.
Okay, there must be something wrong with your cue there, because this is Dean from New York.
Oh, I don't know. It says John from Alaska. You moved, I guess. I don't know. You're in Alaska tonight, according to my screen, but okay. What's up, Dean?
Well, just want to let you know I'm one of the county organizers out here in western New York, in Chautauqua County.
Uh-huh.
And I've been with the organization, I guess, a little while, about a year and a half. And I just want to say that up front, because I have a critical question. And that is, why do you or John believe that you're not successful with the past year and a half filings and mailings?
Why do we believe we're not successful?
Oh, not at all. We believe we're very successful with what we're doing. A lot of people may misunderstand. Look at the power of the pen and the cleansing power of light. Cannot be defeated. But it takes time. It's the tortoise and the hare. Patience, which is virtue. We have to be patient. We've got to keep going, and we've got to keep bringing more stuff and educating and laying out the truth and revealing the truth, putting their sins on the paper, which is necessary because these people are servants and they're full of fraud. So we've been extremely successful. I am very pleased on where we are as far as being successful in what's going on in the courts. Now, we're not greatly successful in the cases yet, but that's about to happen. And we have had a couple of successes, but we have a lot of battles we're working on, and we're going to win them.
Okay, that was a critical question. So when I said, why aren't you, what's wrong, why aren't you having 100% success? I was kind of looking for that answer. You're saying we're having some success, and specifically at the federal and the mailings level. You've been mailing Quo Warranto. How many Quo Warantos have you sent out? How many mailings have you sent to sheriffs? How many mailings have you sent
to district court
judges?
Yeah, we have sent out 13 papers. We have filed 13 papers in all 94 courts. Each one was filed in 94 courts. We also, whoever it was addressed to, we served those people directly, and we have faxes running. We get 8 fax machines running, and once they get going, they go 24/7, and we make sure all of the elected officials on the federal and state level get the copies of all of these papers. So we notify everybody. And we have a lot that goes through the mail. So, for instance, we're going to Congress now, and we're going to be mailing out to 430 congressmen, each one individually with their own name on it, and we're going to be sending it out to the governors of the states and also to the Senate. And we have a special message for them, and they're going to get a copy directly. And then it'll be also filed in the court. So, you know, we have a lot of things going on. We're very active that way. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the truth is laid out, and that's where the light comes to play, and they can't hide from it. You see, we happen to know, we learned in the courts very quickly that they love to expunge things. And that's why they get away with all the evil, and they feel like they're untouchable, because after all, it's going to be cleaned up later. They got the cleanser coming in, and they expunge the cases. So, you know, 6 months, a year later, you come back, and some things, again, will be removed. And so if you come back to those cases at a later time, you're not going to find the things you're going to be looking for, because they're that worried. It's unbelievable the amount of expunging they do, the cleansing they do of their cases. So with that knowledge, we came in and we file everything in all 94 courts, and we get everybody a copy. You can't expunge that.
And how many replies out of all those mailings? You just said you've done thousands of mailings.
Yes.
How many replies have you gotten?
Oh, no, we haven't gotten too many. Mostly silence, and silence is fraud, and it also tells us that they're fearful.
Okay, so now that you've gotten silence, what have you done in terms of following that up?
Oh, well, we go to the next process. We go to contempt of court. We go to, you know, depending on the cases and what we're doing. I mean, you know, where we're going. At the point when you get silence, that means they agree with you ultimately. They have a duty to respond and answer, and therefore, you know, that's fraud when they don't. But the fact that they don't answer means that they've acquiesced. On the one hand, let me finish. Most of the papers we have sent out were mandamuses to make orders, especially for emergencies, to obey the law. They didn't have to particularly answer directly, but we are moving to that point now where we're going to have them that they need to actually do something, to actually make a response. You know, if you read our papers, you'll see where we were going with this. We wanted to reveal, we did the habeas corpus,
yep.
We did lots of mandamuses. So it's all preparatory work. But we are working on other things. But go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Am I muted out, or can you hear me?
No, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've read every single one, John. And nothing has moved them one inch. So, you need to look at your methods and say, well, look, we've been doing this for a year and a half. We've done thousands of mailings. Now we're just going to be mailing out, instead of just mailing out to all the district courts, well, we're going to mail to Congress. We've mailed to the Supreme Court. You've sent mailings out to everyone, and it hasn't worked.
Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. Oh, no. No, we got fear. Look, we have a judge out in Utah with our first habeas corpus. On the one hand, when they heard the name of National Liberty Alliance, lost all composure and had to leave the courtroom immediately, recused herself. And the guy that came in behind her that came in real hardball and hardcore and called us terrorists and called him a terrorist and so on and so forth. 30 days later, he came back and said, he responded and said, well, these people are really not bad people. They're all concerned citizens. And he let them out of jail and let them go. Now, they had no intentions. He was in jail without bail. He was called dangerous. He was called a terrorist. And they weren't going to let, they were looking to do 10, 20
years. He had two FBI agents worked on setting them up for a year and a half.
So the thing is this, when if you don't see that, that's the success we have. And when you have a judge that has to recuse themselves, and this has happened on quite a few cases here and there, where judges are recusing themselves because they don't want to get involved with us. You get judge, and the silence business, let me tell you, they're silent because they don't know what to do and they don't know what to say. Damned if they do and damned if they don't. We keep putting out the olive branch, and the time is coming when the olive branch will no longer be available. And we're looking for, look at, these people are going to go to jail, most of them. But who knows? A lot of them may start doing the right thing, and we're not going to chase them down. Nevertheless, they'll have to pay for whatever sins they did on injuring people. That's a whole different story. But as far as us, as far as we're concerned, if they start doing the right thing, that's what we want. Our interest is to save the nation, not to put people in jail, not to go out after people vengefully. We want to bring mercy, okay? So we continue to give them the olive branch. But the day is coming when that's not going to be available. Now, there are things working in the behind the scenes. Gary talked about this a little earlier. Different alignments coming up. We're not a group per se. We are really an assembly of people who are trying to bring the justice back into the court. So that's what we really are. But we do have groups, large groups that are in negotiations with, where they're going to lead their people, potentially speaking, into our membership for an education and also to support what we're doing in the courts. And we have a lot of things going with quite a few sheriffs out there, which we can't talk about it in detail at the moment, but there's a lot of things happening. Also,
our own members running for sheriff. I mean, we have people that I've suggested, look at, if you have a bad sheriff, run for sheriff. So we have guys that are running on tickets to be elected as a common law sheriff, because do you realize how powerful that is? We get a sheriff that knows the law, that'll uphold the law when we go in and we do an indictment and the sheriff will enforce it. Forget about it. It's going to fall like dominoes in one day. They're going to fall in one day when that happens.
And as far as success,
I'm working to.
As far as success is concerned, I'm perfectly happy. I'm glad to see where we're at. I'm thankful to be as far advanced as we are. You look at, we're ready to take things down and bring things back up into justice again. It's coming very, very close. No one knows the timing to that. No one knows the event that's going to make that happen. So we really don't know, but you can see it in the air. You can feel it in the air. You could see it in the responses, in the attitudes. You could see it everywhere. I see it everywhere because, you know, I'm so involved with everything, and I see it. It's coming. There is so much of an alignment coming down the pike in the liberty movement in itself. You know, National Liberty Alliance has name recognition. There's no way you can go in the Liberty Group and mention our name and they're not going to know who we are unless they're a newbie. We have name recognition. We have a reasonably pretty damn big membership. We have a presence in every single state. We have papers filed everywhere. We're met with much silence, which is, again, fraud. They have a duty to speak. It's fraud. But not only that, there are a lot of people that are frightened and moved, and we've been speaking with them. We've been speaking to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We've been speaking to the FBI.
I just want to say, I want to clear something up.
To the marshals.
Look, we're not filing papers in desperation. We're driving a car down the road. And when you drive a car down the road, there's first gear, there's second gear, there's third gear. We're shifting gears, and every paper lays the groundwork. We have a strategy. We're not filing to every bit of Congress because the judges didn't answer us. We're setting something up here. You know, when you go to federal court and they go, you didn't exhaust all your administrative abilities and all this stuff. Look, we're laying a groundwork. See, a lot of people don't understand what we're doing, and they
become patient. It's also about education. Everything
right.
is about education. And on top of that, talking to the individual that's there and is frustrated, wants to do something, let them know, were there, were coming, and when the time is right, you know what you got to do. So we talk to those people. We talk to the military. We've already given our orders to the military. The military knows what they have to do in emergency, and they can't come into the inner part of the country. They got to get out to the borders and protect the borders, and only come into the inner part of the country if called upon by the militia themselves or by the sheriff of whatever county. But you see, we have made a lot of preparations. We've spoken to a lot of people in our paperwork to prepare them for the national emergency that may come up. Now, we're hoping for a very calm, simple transaction, I guess it would be, moving into the system to take control in the courts and giving it back into the hands of the people where it belongs and taken away from these tyrants that are controlling our courts. And, you know, everybody that's been listening to what we've been teaching here at National Liberty Alliance, they know you want to take back the nation, you take back the courts and you control it all. And that's where we're heading. People need to take back their courts. So we are not losing in any way. I don't see – I'm very, very happy with the progress that we have made, and I think it's going very well.
I don't know. You know, look, we could be more aggressive, but that becomes dangerous too. I mean, people file liens. They do all kinds of stuff, and sometimes that's why we have debacles, because people want to run off and do things that are a little bit more – I'm going to say proactive, but it's actually, you know, with a little bit more hammer. And those are the people that ultimately we've had end up in jail. We told them, you do that, you're going to end up in jail. And that's what happens with them. So, you know,
a lot of people in Colorado, they tried to take us in a different direction. We broke away from them. We told them that they were doing dangerous stuff. They didn't hear it. They're in jail right now as we speak.
Yeah, so we predicted that because we knew that.
And we cut our ties off from us immediately as soon as we saw what they were doing, and that's why we've been untouched by that.
And we don't file and we don't pay and we don't take their number because they like to play games and they like to suck you into their statutory. We're very good about staying out of that, and actually the latest thing now is, look, we put our own number on our cases, and that's the number that's going to be filed, and that's what's happening now. That's the next thing that's going to happen. They're going to file our number, and I'm sure of it. I'm sure that our papers are going to go in with our number, and they're not going to be able to ignore them or put them in a miscellaneous file. These are going to be things that they have to answer to. You see, they've been hiding them, and they've been doing felony rescue and all this stuff, but you see now the light has been shown on it, and they can't hold up to it anymore. And they're starting to throw each other under the bus because, you know, they don't want to go to, you know, none of these people in the courts want to go to jail for somebody else. You know, if the judge is giving them illegal orders to not do something and they're doing it, they're liable, just like those guys in Nuremberg said, we were following orders. Well, that, guess what? That doesn't cut the mustard when you have when you're violating people's rights and you're not following the Constitution. So we're seeing the first cracks and crumbles in the court system of where they're starting to be scared of breaking the law. They've broken the law up until now with impunity. Nobody's ever pushed back. Nobody's ever said anything. Look, we go in and we talk to them. We write them a writ of error. We say, you're wrong. We fine them. We say, look, you are in contempt of court. We talk to them like nobody has ever talked to any federal judge, you know, and so... And we're supposed to talk like that with authority, and that's what we do. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody that, with the tone and tenor of our papers, that's still standing around because we're so constitutionally correct, you know. And look, we've had the FBI come in numerous times to different chapters and investigate. And when we show them the papers, and we say, look, these aren't our words; these are Scalia's words. Look, this is the Second Circuit Court. This is American jurisprudence. What are they going to do, put you in jail for quoting American jurisprudence? They can't do it. They can't do it, and they don't do it, and that's why we're still here, and that's why we're still growing. Now, don't get me wrong. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and you might have an idea, and that's fine, but we've kind of set this thing in motion with a certain strategy in mind, and we've been doggedly sticking to that because – we see it starting to work. It's the tortoise and the hare thing, you know. The tortoise ends up finishing the race and winning the race, even though it looks like he's plodding along very slow. Well, meanwhile, the rabbit's running in circles covering six times the distance that the tortoise covered. And we're the tortoise, and that's what we are. We're very methodical and very dogged. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't want to get, I mean, we're going on an awful long time with this. But that's the long answer. That's not the short answer. And I don't say that you don't have a solution as far as a good idea as far as to move things along. Look, we take anybody's suggestion. We look at all things. We shift gears in the middle of the stream if we have to. A lot of times they teach us something. So the more they respond, usually the more they stick their foot in their mouth, but usually based on any responses that we get, is the way the case shifts. We roll with the punches, so to speak, and sometimes we learn from their actions. That's one of the reasons they don't want to talk to us, because they know, look, most of them are attorneys, and the biggest advice that an attorney will give you is tell you, never talk to anybody, never talk to the police, never, and that's what they do. They silence, because they know the more they move their mouths, they're going to get in trouble. You know, we're like the policemen out there. We got asking them questions. Who, what, where, and when, and at some point, and they know they're going to trip up if they talk, and so we're forcing them. We're forcing their hand, and sometimes by not talking, they're revealing their fraud, and that's just, you know, that's the way it is. That's what we're doing. That's part of what we're doing. Anyway, I don't want to get. I mean, that's pretty long now. We got a couple other people left, so.
On a final note, I'd just like to say. And you both are pretty smart guys, because I've read all your pleadings. I believe the problem is your status, okay? And that if there was a change of status, that the courts might respond to you differently.
Yeah, but you see, one of the things you might be missing here is we're not looking for status, or we're not looking for standing. We already have it because we're the people. They're in the wrong court.
John,
we're bringing them into our court. Huh?
John, can I get a word in here? That's my point. You keep saying that you have a certain status, and you're asserting a certain status. And I'm saying that you don't have the status that you think you do, and that is why you're getting ignored in the system and through these
Even if we went and jumped through their hoops, they're not going to acknowledge us. There's no way we're going to give them their money, because that's fraud, and that's extortion. There's no way that we're going to acknowledge their jurisdiction and go into their court. Look, if we open up a court of record, that brings them into a common law court, and as far as the federal district court,
that's my point.
That's
John,
an Article
that's my
3
point.
Court.
You haven't opened up a common law court.
Oh, we have. Yes, of course. Read our paperwork. We've opened a court of record, didn't we? In every single case. And we established who we are
in the
tribunal, haven't we? We are the tribunal. Look at these guys, these judges. They don't judge over us. We won't permit them to judge over us. Look at, they are the magistrates. They're the traffic cops. And if they don't do their jobs, we'll fire them. And that's exactly what we do with the chief judges when we deal with the habeas corpuses. They're responsible. They're the one that's going to get the indictment when the thing doesn't go through, because they didn't do their job to make sure that the law was applied. That's what their job is.
Look, when it comes down to the status that he's talking about and standing, when we finally get into a court action with them, if they want to bring up status, let them.
We have opened up courts of records and all our papers. But how is it that you think we would get status? Let's find out what he thinks we need to do.
What I'm saying is that your paperwork in your pleadings demands.
But we're not pleading to nobody. Our paperwork is not a pleading. Our paperwork are mandamuses. Our paperwork are pieces of information, of facts. Our paperwork is our habeas corpuses. And our paperwork, is not pleading anything.
Okay.
We're not doing
pleading. John, please don't grill me on semantics, okay? Try to get my understanding here, please.
No, this is
not
semantics, but go ahead. We're going to get standing?
Each time that you attempt in your paperwork, to open a court of record. It has been unsuccessful. And I'm suggesting to you, respectfully, that it is because of your status that you cannot open a court of record. It is one thing to believe that you're a sovereign and that you're whatever you believe that you are, an enlightened human or enlightened man or whatever you believe your status is. The reason that the court is not recognizing you is because their presumption is that you hold a different status. And that is the reason that
we're not asking to do anything, and that's the point. The fact that they are silent and not responding to the fact that we have put onto the papers that there is subversion against the United States of America going on, and we have revealed those sins at every level, and the fact that they haven't done anything is an indictment on them, okay? Well, and they know it. Look at We're a common law tribunal. We are coming into the courts into a common law court. We're bringing the Constitution, the law of the land, Article 6. That's what we're doing. Whatever they think they're doing is totally irrelevant. If they're going to make any actions or movements from their sandbox, it's all fiction, and we give it no merit. We give it no reality. We give it no acknowledgement, and we knock it down as soon as they make a move. And they don't make any moves because they don't know what to do. And that tells us that we're getting traction.
Let me ask you something. So you think if I get my birth certificate apostilled and the Secretary of State puts down that I was born here on the land and that I'm not a United States citizen under the District of Columbia, that these courts are going to listen to us? Is that what you believe?
No, that's not what I believe.
Okay, so
what
so,
I believe is that, and what you know, and I believe you know because you're a smart man, you know that there's an operating presumption. Every time you approach these courts, there's an operating presumption, and that operating presumption is that what your status is, and whether you can get an Article 3 or common law court, or whether you can't. And let me just ask you a question: what is the highest court of the land here that's recognized? What's the highest court of the land?
We opened the highest court of the land.
The common law court is higher than the Supreme Court. Its decisions are
clear. Scalia has mentioned this before. The United States Supreme Court cannot overrule anything we decide in the courts as tribunal. They can't overrule it unless we injure someone else's unalienable rights. They can't say anything that we have to do, and they know that. And look, at this is why they're silent. There is no magic word that's all of a sudden going to – if you think there's some magic words, I'd love to know what they are, that they all of a sudden they'll say, oh, we acknowledge you now, and look, we're going to get out of your way. Come in, guys, bring in the administration, set up the necessary process so that we can bring common law back into the land and we can put all these people in jail if they don't conform or do the right thing. Come on in, guys, let's go. And they're going to open and give us the keys. No, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to give you the keys, but the common law courts are available, and you can get access to that. If you'd like, again, we've gone on for a very long time, and you have other people waiting. I'm one of your county organizers here in Chautauqua County, New York. My name's Dean, so my number is on your website. Give me a call. And I can, we'll talk at
length. Well, look at, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this?
I'm talking in colorable language. I hope you understand, John, just like you don't want to reveal everything, and you speak in colorable language.
Why don't you do this? Listen, you go up to, you know the website, go up to the directory, click on talk with the national leadership and bring it up to them. And then they'll digest it, and then they'll bring it to a conversation with myself and Gerard, and we'll bring you in on it too. But bring it to them. Get a hold of Jan. Get a hold of Gary. Get a hold of one of the national leaders, Roberts.
Jan, I don't believe Jan answers her phone. I've spoken to
Jan. Jan answers the phone.
Does she answer the phone?
Not her.
I'm Jan.
Jan,
Pennsylvania. For a woman, you're looking for the wrong person.
We may be speaking of two different Jans.
Yeah, Jan is one of the most active. He's up there with one of the most active national leaders we have.
In New York?
He's in
Pennsylvania.
He's a national.
I'm talking. I thought you were referring to one of my county organizers.
Talk to Jan. Talk to Gary. Talk to Robert. Get a dialogue. Tell them your ideas, because look at they're the springboard for ideas, and they will digest it and negotiate it and talk it out, and then they'll bring it to us, and whoever brings in the idea, if they want to, you know, spearhead it, fine, and they'll bring you with the idea to us, and then we'll discuss it further.
Yeah, we're not saying that we're not open to new information. Absolutely not. We have changed our tact numerous times in this journey. It's been a journey, and we really learned along the way. And I mean, you know, if you think you have a certain knowledge or a special thing that you can bequeath to us, you know, we learn from everybody. You know, and we've also found out that, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. It happens all the time. So if there's something new to learn and you're plugging along and you're really trying to get it, and like I said, we're the tortoise. And let me tell you something, good things come to the tortoise, you know. And the tortoise is one of the longest living, you know, animals on the earth. And that's, you know, it's a good symbol, you know, for what we're doing. So if you think you got
they're in it for the long run, huh?
Yeah, if you think you got something we can use, we certainly will discuss it, you know?
Yeah, with that, let's move on. But definitely give a call to the leadership, and you'll make a connection to us. You know, get the ideas going, hammer them out, and then we'll talk, okay? But we do have a few more callers we want to try to get to. We might get to everyone tonight, it looks like.
Okay, Dean, thank you for that.
And have a good
thank
night.
You, we'll appreciate
be,
it,
we'll
Dean.
Be talking. Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, well, the next caller is a wireless caller ending in 1537. You've been unmuted. And I think it's 1537. You've been unmuted. Come on, you've been the turtle. You waited this long. You can answer now. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Go right ahead.
Hello, my name is Jacob Anderson. I'm from Indiana.
Hey, Jacob.
Actually, my friend just invited me to listen to the this broadcast tonight, and I've always been a big fan. You know, constitutional rights have always been big on my mind, and one of the things I'm kind of struggling with is my brother just got caught. You know, he's in trouble with the law right now, and my one question is the judge, when I went in the courtroom, the judge acting as the prosecutor.
Oh, they do it all the time.
They also act like our judges too, don't they?
Yeah.
They don't have the authority or the right to make a judgment over us, because they're servants, they're magistrates, and they act only as a judge. They can only act as a judge in equity courts, and that's only when you allow them to. Unless it's under $20, then you don't have a choice. But if it's over $20, you don't have to take the equity court judge. You can go the route of the jury. If it's a criminal case, it's always a jury, and they have to have the grand jury to do an indictment before they can do anything. So, and they bypass all that. So these guys are out of control.
Definitely. Okay. Look, if you understand the law, you can ask the judge. You can say, "Are you prosecuting this case?" You got to be careful, because they'll hold you in contempt. You know what I mean? You have to be careful that you don't go into contempt. All right, if he
with all due respect, yeah.
Yeah, you always say with all due respect. Or if he says, "I'm going to hold you in contempt," you say, I do not wish to be held in contempt, and I don't think by exercising my such and such amendment right that you would be violating your oath of office." They'll never hold you in contempt when you talk like that, ever, because you've put something on the record that makes them unreasonable to hold you in contempt, you see? So,
okay.
But anyway, it's a tough battle, because these guys are evil, you know, and you got to be careful when you're talking in court, because it's very easy to stick your foot in your mouth, say the wrong thing, and then they feel comfortable doing the nasty thing to you, you know? I mean, I had a case. I was tapping my papers on the table and walking out, and he kind of nonchalantly hollers over to me. So what do you want to do? And the other side was defaulted. And I said, well, I want it dismissed. Well, that gave him permission to act, and I had to give him a writ of error and everything else because I said a sentence on the way out of the courtroom, and he took it out of context and he used it as my permission for him to act. You see, they're very, very slick. And that's why I don't believe that they don't know what's going on. For a judge to pull that kind of a trick in a courtroom, he has to understand the process, right?
Yes, correct. And I'm defending my brother on his behalf. And one of the things my other constitutional buddies brought up to me is jurisdiction. And one of the main jurisdiction points is that gold fringe flag. Is that true?
Well, that's something that they're going to foo-foo. I heard a story about a guy that brought up the gold fringe flag, and you're absolutely right. It's an admiralty flag. That's where they got you. They got you in the sea. They got you in rem. You know, they do ex parte things because they feel comfortable. But you can't really bring it up in the courtroom because this one judge got up, took the flag, brought it out in the hallway, threw it out in the hallway, sat back down and said, hey, any other problems? What are you going to say to that? You know what I mean? It's absolutely an admiralty court, but you have to kind of bring it around to that in not so many words. You know, when we do our paperwork, read the footnotes and everything else that we put in there. When that judge reads that and he reads the footnotes, he knows that we know, and that's where you want to be.
Well, the key thing here is the fact that you see the fringe flag and you understand what it means, but you don't have to acknowledge it, and that doesn't rule the courtroom. What rules that courtroom is the fact that we own that building, that is our building, and if you're in a federal court, an Article III court should be in place. And if you're in a state court, then the proper court, of course, is still, it's a common law court. And so, but if you see that flag, that's the key thing, or the time to start moving towards jurisdiction and make in that point, you do realize, Your Honor, that I have opened up a court of record. We are in a common law court, operating under law. Is that not true? Now he's going to refuse to answer that, and that means then you're going to have to do a writ of error, and you're going to have to overrule anything he's done that day and everything he said, and you're going to have to give your affidavit to support whatever went on in that court, and then you're going to see where it goes from there. And if they don't start to respond properly and they take you and you start to see that you're back in, the fact that they call you back for another conference means you're back in his court. Well, then the only way you can deal with that, and you need to understand how to do it and what to do, the only way you can deal with that is to take him into a federal court, sue him for violating your unalienable right of the Fifth Amendment due process rights, and also the seventh right of a common law court. And that removes him from that bench. And you need to remove all the lawyers with him, and you get him for conspiracy at the same time because they conspired to hijack you into a foreign court. You now have removed all the officers of that court, and now you're going to get all new, brand new officers. You're going to get new lawyers. You're going to get new judges because they can't come back into that courtroom no more. And now you get the new people, and now they're going to be wondering what are you going to do with them. So at that point, if they're smart, they're going to start looking for a way to get rid of this case, okay? And if you're looking just to be kicked out of the court, then go with that and don't push it any further. Take it and move on.
Okay, thank you. And I have one other question. I'm currently in a battle with my landlord as well, as far as being evicted. But I have some serious property issues I won't go into. But I was requesting, if you guys can help me, I will be more than happy to donate.
Yeah, we cannot get involved in that. We used to get involved early on with cases and assisting cases and helping people, but now we're so much in the limelight, we can't get lost into that because they have a plan they use for people who are teaching things of that nature and giving advice and that kind of stuff. Also, we are so locked down and focused in on the job at hand that we don't have a minute to turn right or left to do anything else. So, but you know, once we get to the other side, you know, you're going to have all these common law grand juries that will be found in every single county, and it'll happen quite quickly, as a matter of fact. But, you know, you'll have the opportunity to utilize them. Now, I know that may be a little, you know, a little too late, considering you may be facing an eviction. So, you know, I apologize. There's nothing else we can do for you. But learn the law. Bear in mind, they don't have the authority. If you're being evicted, you're probably in a town or a village or a city court. And if that's where you're at, or maybe a special court, a landlord's court, if that's where you're at, they don't have the jurisdiction, and let them know. And when they try to pull you, bring them into the federal court, you'll shut that court down pretty quick. Keep bringing them into the federal court. But
okay,
you
then
have to know how to do that. And you can't get into their jurisdiction. You can't pay money to go into that federal court because you're paying for a fictional court and not for a common law court. And that's a battle in itself. Again, an uphill battle. You got to know how to write the papers. You got to know put a file on demand paper. You know, you can get some examples for what paperwork we've done.
Okay. And another question. As far as the landlord situation goes, I highly doubt I'm going to be evicted anytime soon because I'm pretty sure the state may pick up charges against my landlord for the fact of how bad this building is. Renting commercial buildings out residentially is just bad news in general. But back to my brother's court case. Now, when the judge plays prosecutor, can I throw that out because of that? Or can I get him off
again,
of the bench?
Again, he can do whatever he wants in his court. You have to know enough to move the jurisdiction to get him out of that courtroom. We got to remove the judge. There's only one way to remove a judge. You sue him for violating unalienable right of due process because that's what he's doing. He's not allowing you to get your common law court. We only got like about 11 minutes left, and we've got two other callers and three other callers. I really want to get him in here if I can.
Thank you guys so much for what you guys are doing. The knowledge is unbelievable, not to mention, you know, broadening the minds of everybody is fantastic. I just want to thank you guys for that. You guys have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
You too. Have a blessed Christmas.
Thank you. Okay, Oklahoma Tanner, you're on.
Hey, Gerard, how's it going?
Good. How's it going with you?
Oh, you know, hanging in there. I just got on because everybody early on was talking about the Facebook stuff.
Yeah.
And you guys were asking about what was what. We do have the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury just in holding right now. And you guys are both administrators on that on Facebook. So you have control of it.
That was the case, but I wasn't sure. So, but good. Right. I thought you were coming up for that purpose. I wanted to make sure I got to you.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. I just wanted to clear the air. Now, I just got in contact literally minutes before this call started with the administrators of the public National Liberty Alliance Facebook page community. It's a couple of our members and one other person that may follow along but isn't actually a registered member with us. And they were positive. And we're going to do some different things with the national Facebook stuff and then let it trickle down to the states, have some different plans like that. So we had a closed group that Gary got with me about, and I opened it up to the public recently. So bear with me if it's slow on your posts because we have it different settings on there to kind of monitor what goes on the national site.
Can you get the new video up that we did, the TV interview? Can you get that up on the sites and print them into the sites?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we can do it directly on Facebook. I recommend that we do it on YouTube and then link it to Facebook because then you have two venues. Mm-hmm. But you
can't however you want to do it. Yeah, you do it the way you think is best to be done. We're good with that.
Okay. Yeah, just send it to me however you want.
If you go to the website, you know how to do a YouTube embedment? To embed a YouTube in?
On the website?
Yeah, on Facebook. Can you embed the YouTube? Do you know how to do an embedment?
I don't know about embedment. I can look into it.
I know you can post a video.
I'll try to get time. If you can't do it, let me know. I'll try to get time over a call out there to do it, and she'll show you how to do it where, you know, you go to YouTube, and then you get the code off YouTube, and you come back into Facebook, and then you embed it. There should be a way to embed. I'm not sure how Facebook would work on this, but
yeah, you don't have to embed it on Facebook. You just share it as a video, and then when you click on it, it sends you to YouTube if you want
okay.
to. Otherwise, it plays.
It probably the best place to send them is to the video right on our website if possible. You know, call
right,
might be able
right.
to help you out if you're not sure how to do that.
We may be able to do that maybe better. That's the whole point, is to direct everything on the national level to the website,
right.
and then trickle down to the states. And then that way we have kind of a more unified front on Facebook and tie up any loose ends. And we may, anybody that's got a Facebook that they're running for their state or their county, if they would just look me up on Facebook and send me a message with a link there, maybe add me to that if they wouldn't mind. We can talk first if I have time. But it's going to be Tanner Justice, TannerJustis. And you just look me up on Facebook and send me a message. That way we can, I don't know, maybe try to name everything the same. So when you search, there's other companies that have Alliance and Liberty in their name. So if we do all of ours in the same order, kind of like we did our post office boxes and things like that, then it might help. So anybody that can... contact me on the website too, Tanner Justice. I'm in Oklahoma. Look me up, and we'll try to get everything real easy to deal with.
Hey, Tanner, is that national site opened up now?
Yes.
Okay, so people can go in there and post if they want?
Well, you can. Right now, posts we have to check them first,
uh-huh.
and it's a group. There are certain different types of Facebook deals. I know on
join
pages,
the group.
Right, on pages, anybody can like it. No one's a member, and you can have posts where you can click and look at user posts, and then you can have official posts that are on the feed. That way we can distinguish between people's opinions, what the National
right.
Liberty Alliance is saying specifically.
Right.
So that's what I want to do. If the community won't do it, we'll make a third page, but... The problem is anybody can make a Facebook, and we got to make sure that we have control of our actual name and that it's legitimate and in every
right,
way possible
right.
on an official front. And then after that, you know, anybody has their own opinion, can do whatever they want. We just have to make sure that we're not saying anything violent per se. If someone gets angry and says something that could be construed as violent, that's them, not really.
Right.
Sort of
gotcha.
Yeah,
all right, well, we only got a minute left, so we should move
yeah.
on. Appreciate it, Tanner.
Yeah,
anything you want, a final word, real quick or anything? Well, that's it.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you,
we're
Tanner.
Right.
Indiana
we'll
Nick.
Take one more caller.
I open Indiana Nick. Indiana
yes, this is
wants
Nick.
Me. Go
Can
ahead.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Nick.
Hi.
We only got a minute, so good.
That's all right. My phone hung up on me on accident. I would have been in earlier probably, but my question is, I am going through a case. My next court date is my trial date. My question is about jurisdiction. Now, I'm on probation from a prior case from back in 2013. Now, does that automatically grant them jurisdiction over me because
no,
of
no.
a prior case?
They didn't have jurisdiction in the first case, and they don't have jurisdiction in this case because it's extremely doubtful that you're in a court of law. You're in a court of chancery.
Okay.
So you can battle it. Do habeas corpus.
I am. I'm present. I talked to someone today. I don't remember her name. She kind of gave me
Linda?
The info and actually told me to ask the question. Yeah, I believe it was Linda. I talked to her earlier today, and she told me to ask the question because she said she wasn't sure, and she said it was a good question.
Yeah, well, they don't have jurisdiction over you. They never did, and you can challenge jurisdiction any time. You could be 5 years after the case.
I did on my last court date.
And still challenge
it, I did challenge jurisdiction on the last court date.
Yeah,
the judge wasn't trying to answer me or
Yeah,
have
but
it.
The way to challenge jurisdiction is you don't ask them to make a decision. You let them know that they don't have jurisdiction. You let them know. Well, first of all, you want to open a court of record, so you got to come back at them with a court of record, and you got to let them know you're in a court of record. What court do you think we're in, Rihanna? He's not going to answer that. That's his answer. He's in a chancery court. He just answered you by not answering. He's in a chancery court because he won't tell you that. Because he'd have no problem saying, oh, of course we're in a court of record. Absolutely, we're under common law, and you got constitutional rights and unalienable rights protected by the Constitution. He'll tell you that, but he's never going to tell you that, is he?
No, he was saying he didn't want to hear anything about this constitutional stuff. And
yep.
He didn't have
time
to hear my verbal motion.
Right there. Right there, he just violated you. Sue him in a federal court. Remove him from his bench right there and then. But again, you know, you got to be careful. You got to know how to do it. You know, to say these things are easy, but then there's backing it up and with the paperwork and the right words and handling yourself in the court. And all those things take time to learn and go through the school of hard knocks.
Well, unfortunately, my trial date is February 8th, so I'm. Yeah.
Well, you got time. If you move quickly, get your paperwork, and you got time to try to work yourself out with the habeas corpus. So,
okay.
But with that, we need to bring.
I have all the documents, intake, and all that saved. And I'm going to fill out tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to end our program. Appreciate your time. Thanks for calling, Nick, and
thanks for
joining us. All right. Okay, well, let me tell everybody to have a blessed Christmas, and we'll see you on the other side, and Lord willing, on Monday. And don't forget, Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in this room, we have Bible studies doing Harmony of the Gospel, so people should come and meet the King. Okay, thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Merry Christmas.
Good night. Merry Christmas.
Christmas, everyone.